Capcom. Mel. And here's your host, Matthew Chorney.
We're going to be cursed or something? Like, it's going to be like the videotape from The Ring. I was going to somehow, instead I was going, these are just fun movies. These are just like fun slapstick kind of horror comedy.
That's kind of the thing though. And like, here's the thing. If you're into horror, there's no horror movie that's going to shock you. Like, there's horror movie that's going to make you feel uncomfortable or make you be like, well, that was trash. I wish I didn't watch it. Like Serbian Film. But I had heard the tale of Serbian Film for years. And I finally watched it, and I'm like, well, that was utter garbage. But I don't feel like I'm cursed. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel...
Well, I don't
really deserve the gab that it got. But.
About films like that, they're not scary. They just make a piece of your humanity rot.
Yeah.
And just kind of fall off. And those aren't enjoyable, you know?
No, they're not made.
The films that are like a good horror movie should be slightly ridiculous, but also it doesn't have to be plausible, but it just should tap into some kind of primal fear that you have about something. Like, I've never been scared of clowns. I get that some people are, and I understand why some people are.
Uh-huh.
But like when I watch clown movies like It or whatever, I'm just there going, I've never met a clown. Never met a clown that I didn't think I could at least hold my own against.
They're scared of clowns. So, not scared of them, they just creep her out. Kind of the way that dolls creep Matt out.
Well, not just dolls. Specifically porcelain.
Specific kind of dolls. Like, no. Yeah. I understand that, though, because that's like a childhood thing. Like, I know sort of why you would have
You walked into the room that caused the trauma for me to hate porcelain dolls.
I walked into that room longer than you, and...
I'm sure, because I went in there twice.
Worst part was like how it evolved.
I think I know where that fear comes from, though. I think it's a fear of being watched.
Yeah, it's probably.
It's 100% the fear of being watched, but specifically with this one, here's what it triggers into my head. They look like dead kids.
Yeah.
All right.
Some of them.
Not to get too real here, if you've ever been to a funeral for somebody who is very young, it's one of the most haunting things in the world that you do. Something about a porcelain doll triggers that in my brain.
You there.
Like, so yeah, it's not to a specific
event. No, I know
event,
what you're saying.
But like that type of like recoil and horror kind of feeling. Like if I walk into a room and there's porcelain dolls, I don't feel the need to flee.
No.
But I will feel uncomfortable. You know what I mean? Like it's that type of like.
Well, that particular spot, too, has, like, when you have, like, a spot where there's emotional trauma already attached to the thing, it's already going to escalate what you might be feeling anyway.
Absolutely, like a bad acid trip. That's what...
Exactly. Like the worst kind of acid trip. I used to be afraid of spiders, but that just went away at some point.
I'm not afraid of spiders unless they land on me and I don't know about it.
Not afraid. Afraid is almost the wrong word. It'd be more like creeped out or don't want to go near it or don't want to mess with it, touch it.
Yeah, see, that doesn't bug...
I usually, like, we're big catch-and-release people here, so...
I don't like spiders, but I don't have anything against them.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, there's some part of your brain that just has a primal fear of creepy things, you know? It's like, I mean, it's completely natural, okay, to look at a spider and go, whoa, just as it is to look at a panda and go, oh, come here, let me hug it.
Yeah, it's pathologic. Like, well, we as a species have it written into our heads about certain things. It's like maggots. If you were to see a maggot on a table, just a single maggot, guess what? It looks like a little white worm.
Yep.
And there's nothing gross about it. But when we see a swarm, it's not the maggots that make us grossed out. It's the smell and look of rot. And they fucking trigger that in your head.
Well, that's our brains telling us don't mess with that. It's not real.
Well, that's exactly my point. But, like, if you actually get past... If you actually, like, just looked at the creature, it's like, it's nothing. Like, it's fucking nothing. But, nope, you put 1,000 of them inside a trash barrel and I'm fucking freaking the hell out.
Yeah, totally.
Like... With spiders, it's this. Stay in the corner. You stay in your fucking corner. You don't come down into my area. I'll leave you alone. The minute I see an egg sack, though, you and your family are toast.
Yeah.
There are limits to what is allowed in my room. You want to fucking lay egg sacks up in the rafters where I can't see them.
Yeah.
That's the rule. That's the rule.
I'm kind of in agreement with that. I mean, and around here in the summer, they're super useful for mosquitoes as well. So
that's my point.
I try not to get rid of them that time of year. I'm like, have at.
I used to work somewhere where there, well, you would help, you know, like big home heating oil drums?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I used to sell those at one of my old jobs. I remember one day picking one up and moving it to someone's car for them and going, wow, there's like a really spongy grip here on this, the right hand side. And it was only after I put it down, I realized there was like 6 or 7 spider egg sacs in there. And there's this giant spider running over the back of my hand. I'd knock it, like punch the spider into the thing and squished it against the I completely freaked out. I was like, what the fuck? And the guy was laughing at me and he's like, here, listen, say like the thing costs $6.55 or whatever. He gave me like $6.60 or whatever. I was like, just that extra fiver, that's yours for the trauma.
When I was a late teen, me and my family lived in a decent apartment, but the problem was our upstairs tenants were fucking slobs. Ugh. And so, despite how nice our apartment was, we had problems from upstairs. To this day, I can't stand the sight of centipedes. Ugh. And the reason I can't stand the sight of centipedes is because those fuckers used to fall out of my ceiling into my bed while I slept.
Yuck.
Like, I had to check my bedding every fucking day. And yeah, there'd be some days you pull the sheets over, there's like 5 or 6 of them just scurrying out.
What
it's like,
are you from sleeping?
Ugh. Well, yeah, I mean, that's one of many things.
Childhood drama.
I mean, I'm not going to go so far as to call that trauma. It was definitely creepy as fuck.
No, but like, you start piling stuff on, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Okay, yeah, like, that's just one of many contributing factors. Yeah, no, like, bugs, I don't know. Some bugs are adorable and some are fucking horrific. And it's, yeah, I've got a live and let live method in my apartment with the spiders and everything else. You don't fucking crawl on my shit,
yep,
I don't come at you. However, flies and fruit flies, I am the fucking antichrist to them. Like, I will get every trap. I will make it my mission to destroy them, because if it's one thing I can't stand, it's fucking flies. I don't know why they trigger that in me, but I cannot fucking take them.
Well, here, too, because, like, food, they used to fly around the restaurant, and we'd have to get rid of them anyway, so we came up with good things. Hot water and dish soap down the faucets. Just run it for 10
yeah,
or 15
that's,
minutes.
That's a good idea.
Because it cleans my, the... They live in the water that gets caught in the trap is where they come from. So it helps flush it out.
My problem is specifically with fruit flies, because, like, yes, they're thin enough to fly through the netting of a screen on a window.
Yeah.
And right there by my window is the fucking trash bin for the apartment. So, yeah, glorious day whenever the heat comes in. Yeah. Also, hi, Keith. Welcome to the show, buddy.
Oh, hello.
Sorry. What's this setting on your webcam that makes you look like you're in front of a green screen of your own house?
It's like doing a weird focus thing where it's like out of focusing everything that's not my face.
The Skype auto, it defaults
it's like
to
a thing I can change.
Blurring your background or whatever bullshit.
Oh, that's fucking weird.
It is so dumb.
It looks like you're about to encounter a special effect in an 80s film.
Oh, it's so weird. Apparently it says, for Skype you can just record. I like clicked on the settings thing and it says start recording, so I wonder if that's just video or if you can do audio. Oh, blur my background.
There you go.
Fixed it.
Yeah, that'll look better.
I was expecting the clay animation dinosaur. Now I'm slightly disappointed.
Oh, that'd be great, right?
Get some
now it will look less like Slender Man's back.
Now it's
normal. Yeah.
No lens flares or anything.
That jumps up there, you'll actually see her, because she was, like, up there.
I saw her crawling on your shoulder earlier, but,
She's nuts. I don't know what she's doing. She's doing
something. I guess now, like, that cold opening aside, hi, everybody, welcome to week 3. Okay, I'm gonna get into this, because I've been kind of quiet, because I've been kind of down in the dumps lately, but I'm in a much better mood today, so I'm gonna try to actually bring it home on today.
Matt,
I got laid 5 times, John. No, what's
did you cry like a little bitch?
Oh, jeez,
dude. Yes, just in a fetal position, going 36 days. I gotta go 36 days without seeing anybody. Fuck. Yeah.
If it makes you feel any better, all right. My last day in work. I went through what can only be described as hyper emotion. I wanted to leave work. Like I had voluntarily decided to quit at the worst time in human history, it seems, because I wanted to go find another job. And on my last day, I just remember going, "Oh shit, this is the last time I'm going to use the disabled toilet." and that just like triggered me, and I just cried in there for about 5 minutes, and then I went home and obviously watched an episode of Star Trek. But
wherever your father is, Johnny's highly disappointed.
And then I bought myself a pretty dress in Animal Crossing.
I've seen his very pretty ballet dress. I have seen. John came and visited my island this morning, and I got to see his level of wear.
I bought that in your Mabel shop.
Nice.
Your shop. I just went in there. I was like, "I'll buy something." And I was like, "Oh fuck, I'll get the ballet dress."
I was like, "Oh, you guys got to come and check it out because I got this like metal gear and like a mohawk wig and stuff."
I want it so bad, and the fucking.
We'll try again after.
We'll try again after the show.
Try again later. I've got a Pathfinder game at like 7:30, so I've got a.
I've got all night.
I
don't know what it is, but
keep my island's open right now because my friend Kelly wanted to sell peaches and stuff. So
keep
I was
my
like,
island wide open.
I was like, I'm recording a podcast. If you just hang out as long as you want, I'm just chilling on the beach.
I've discovered this, like, in Animal Crossing, sometimes I dress like a girl. I don't know why, it just happens. And
I wear flowers in my hair. I don't do that in real life, but sometimes I pick a flower and I put it in my hair, and I'm like, that looks good. I'm going to walk around with a flower in my hair today.
I'm not kidding. I was just sitting there watching, or playing along. And I was like going, yeah, I wish I wasn't such a stocky guy and I could just do this in real life, you know? I think dresses are something I'd like to make use of. Because they're just such a comfortable way to dress. But unfortunately, I have the body of 1997 Taz. So it's not going to
work. Not going to work.
Eloquently put, John. Eloquently put.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I look pretty good in a singlet. But
I love that Animal Crossing does kind of let people express themselves in so many different ways. Like... And it doesn't matter. You know, today one of my islanders, Apple, the little pink hamster, gave me a polka-dotted raincoat. And I was like, I would never wear this in real life, but goddamn, this looks so fucking cute on my little avatar in this game. Anytime it rains, I'm going to wear this. Like, this
so my dude silly. My dude is currently, speaking of Taz, he's currently wearing sunglasses that Taz would be seen wearing, a fucking medical mask, a black skull and bones bandana, and a Dracula outfit. Because that is the shit I found, and I'm on a mission to keep him looking as ridiculous as humanly possible.
I got a medical skeleton today out of the shop, and it was just funny just seeing the text like, "Oh, do you sure you want to buy a skeleton?" I was like,
"Yeah,
I do." Yeah, my big one. I think it was yesterday. Had it was a little bobblehead luchador that I had in my front room. Now that when you click on him, it bobbles his head around.
I bought that for John yesterday as a present for going to his island. Yeah.
Oh, that's perfect.
And then I stole all of his apples and almost stole his turnips by accident.
Yeah, I had to sell those today. I was running low on funds.
I went to a random island like an hour ago, and it just had 5 full money rocks in the center of it.
Nice.
You had to break a rock to get to it. You had to break a rock to vault over to this little island in the center of a lake in the middle of the island, and then it had 5 money rocks. It was awesome. I pretty much I had like 20,000 Nook miles, and since I just got the town hall, I spent 18,000 just getting different things to set up on my island, because I have to improve my playground. Now that there's actual Port-a-John, I dismantled, John saw my bathroom I built, and I dismantled it because there's Port-a-Johns. I'm going to put a Port-a-John in the park, and I'm going to get a playground and one of those little spring horsies I got on the way. So I went and put the sink by the entrance to my island, because when you come to my island, wash your fucking hands.
Which I did, to be fair.
You did. John even went in the bathroom and was like, gotta watch them hands.
My house looks like a redneck trailer park person's wet dream. Like, it is nothing but, like, tire seats
and just cardboard boxes to hold everything up. But the interior is all like old Japanese house bamboo because, you know, why the fuck not?
Mine's a jungle with a river running through the middle of it.
That's pretty fucking impressive.
That's my front room, and I got a bunch of koi fish and plants all around. And then I have the first drawing I made in the game was like a skeleton, a skull, and I hung it on the wall above an archway. And John walks up to the doorway and is like, "Oh, this is really ominous." And we walk in, I'm like, "It's just my jam space." And it's like, I have all my instruments set up in there so you can go in and jam out with people.
I need John.
Five different instruments.
John, I need you to generate a code so I can buy that shirt. That's all.
Oh, yeah, I'll do it later. I tried to do it earlier on, but I just got distracted and I'll go back to it later on.
No worries.
And John left the nice inspirational message on my bulletin board. It simply just says, "Go Ace" with a heart.
Man, look, that is, those are literally words to live by.
Yeah, right? No, I said they were inspirational words. I was not being sarcastic. That was dead serious. I saw you at the board, and I was like, "Oh, what's he doing?"
So, because this is the thing, like, if there was an island, you know, like in Predators, you know, that Predators movie where you get dumped with a load of random people.
Yeah.
Like, if I was dumped on a desert island and Tanahashi was one of the guys that was on the island, I'd be like, he's the boss. Look at him. All right? He's like a mix of a man and a woman somehow. All right? Like, he's the best of us, lads. Just let him be the boss.
So in Crazy Island stuff, I have a friend who is literally building North Korea for his island. Like, nice. He's putting up barbed wire fences.
That's awesome.
And, like, barring off a corner of his island and going to put up, like, no admittance, do not enter. And he's like, we have a little chat and Snapchat. It's like, villagers are reporting an odd smell coming from the northwest end of the island.
Oh, that's funny.
They've been told it's nothing. Do not go up there. And, like, my one friend was just like, you're going to get an F. You're getting an F for your island now. Like, that's all you're setting yourself up for. He's like fenced off villagers he doesn't like. My one friend. So what he's done, there's a villager named Diva who's a little purple frog.
Okay.
Everybody seems to hate her.
Oh.
And you can actually go up and whack villagers with like your bug catching net and piss them off. And so now at every ceremony, because he's done this multiple times, complained about her to Isabel, which you can do about residents. And, like, complained about how she dresses and how she talks and all this stuff. So anytime there are, like, events or ceremonies, everybody's standing together. And Diva's literally in the background, far off.
That's awesome.
It's fucking – this game has so many little things it doesn't tell you it does. And it's like, if you make it so you don't like someone and they don't like you, they'll literally stand off in ceremonies and things. It's so funny.
I don't know if this is a fake or if he managed to do it, but I know a week ago Jeff Gerstmann posted on Instagram – a scene from his game that just says, "Everybody thinks you're drunk and the island hates you." And I'm like, that's fucking phenomenal. But speaking of things that imitate real life, real life happened this past weekend. After a week, I finally got word from my fucking, from my employers, or my used to be employers, with my pink slip that came in the mail telling me that I am no longer employed nor have any of my insurance as of a week ago.
Oh,
so, bravo, gentlemen, on being very expeditive with that shit. Thanks.
It's happening to a
that.
Lot of people just like that, too.
Today I did get at least a text message from them saying May 4th. We'll see you back come May 4th. And it's like, oh, good. Just got extended by another 3 fucking weeks. Hooray. All I'm saying is, hope that stimuli check starts coming in soon. But that's all I've got to say about that.
Yeah, get on that unemployment, man. I got on it myself.
I already am. Getting it.
It was hard for me to get it. I had to literally call at 7:30 in the morning and like pray it would like catch someone there and get me to the right thing where I could say there's a problem with my claim. Because I think I talked about it on the last show. I don't know where, like,
you did.
Yeah, where I would call and it would just be like, there's no one here and you have to call tomorrow. I know we just opened, but call tomorrow. It's like, but that's all sorted, thankfully.
As of last recording from this, it was official for my state for a day. So that day I had tried and, yeah, the site was down. Like, I was 40 minutes on fucking hold. Like, fuck this, I'll do this tomorrow.
Yeah.
Did not wake up early. Did it around fucking noon that day, that Thursday.
instantly got on. It was a little, it took a little while for the shit to load up. You could tell it was still bogged down, but one of the benefits of living in a small state, you know what I mean? It's like Jersey's got what? Triple, quadruple the population of
Mass. We're dense. This is a dense place. And it was, it was like hitched up in the system, she said. She was like, oh, it's just caught up in the system here. Let me ask you a few questions and blah, blah, blah. And it was
put. Well, I'm glad you're
through. She sounded like she just wanted to die, though. Like, she,
oh, yeah. Well, I mean,
she sounded like she had been dealing. It was like I called her the first thing in the morning. She already sounded like she wanted to kill me, assuming I was going to be some jerk. And I'm all like, thank you. Like, I really appreciate you.
That's got to be like one of the most exasperating jobs right now. Nobody's thanking those people.
And they already hate their jobs on the best day.
Well, yeah, it's because people treat them like trash, though. I mean, most people that call in aren't it's like, I get it. Like, you lost your job and you were cranky, but the person on the other end of the line isn't the reason for that. And so, but a lot of people just don't.
Oh, believe me, I know all about that.
Yeah, no, I've worked call center jobs too, John. Those were my first jobs in college.
I'm looking forward to not hating British people. Because I'm not getting. If I hear a certain type of British accent now, I just want to go, why don't you fuck off, you entitled cunt? All right? I don't care whatever it is you want. I want you to fuck off to get it, all right? Seriously, get fucked. And give back all those jewels you stole from Africa.
Give back all those spices to India.
Oh, my but, God.
Yeah, God. That's my last job. Which thankfully, as of today, I'm officially no longer employed in.
Thank you!
But, was it, like...
It's anti-employment day!
Well, I feel terrible, though, because I was actually planning on doing this. I was like, I'm just going to go get another job and go do other things. And then it's just like, guess what? There are no jobs. Like, you have quit your job in the middle of, you know, I don't know, quickening from the Highlander. So yeah, we'll figure that one out. I don't know. Cool thing is, though, like as I said, I'm going to move home. So it's not like the roof will come out from over my head. There won't be any, I'll be fine.
Right.
Like, it's just a case where things are going to get a little bit spicy for the next couple of weeks.
It's okay, everyone. John lives in Ireland. They take care of people there when they're in trouble.
Apparently, we are under. And I want to give my country people a little clap because we are below expectations for infections.
Excellent.
Oh, good for you.
We are well, we're doing really well, apparently. So fucking fair play, everybody.
Glad to hear it. My cousin and my aunt have it.
No.
Yeah.
damn.
They're both.
We doubled China's death toll as of today, which is we didn't mark it yet. March 31st, 2020.
We're number one.
That was like me, Matt.
Cue the song.
Matt, that was me just kind of going, oh yeah, guys, I found out I don't have the gout. And Matt goes, oh yeah, well, I have AIDS.
Yeah.
well,
I'm glad you
that's terrible. Also, in my exciting life, which hasn't been very exciting, but no Monday morning, I wake up. Charlie is calling me, my friend I live with, who owns the house. He's calling me and he's like, so I need you to sanitize the house like top to bottom and we need to clean. I just found out this person who I work near has been out for a week and they have it because they're also a nurse. Oh. And it was like Charlie wasn't in direct contact with them or anything. Thankfully, this was also a person he avoided for reasons. This was also the person where him and other coworkers were like, gee, who do you think would end up wandering around here with it and end up infecting everyone? I bet it'd be her. Guess what? It was her. So, and they're a nurse, which is kind of like, I guess that's how they got it. So I can't, begrudge them. But so now it's like he being that it's already been 7 days since that lady was last at work. And he hasn't shown any symptoms. He's in the clear. I haven't either, but we're kind of on 7 days inside at this point to be like, let's make sure neither of us have it or got it to make it a full 2 weeks. Yeah, I think so too. It was, but we did clean, which was nice though. So I was like, let's clean the kitchen top to bottom. Like, fuck it. Which was nice to do.
I've been cleaning 15 minutes a day every day because I need to keep something to do for tomorrow.
Some of us, Matthew, have found something to do, and that something is compiling exhaustive lists of shit to watch and starting minor graphic design projects to commemorate the occasion.
Before you get into that, because I know we're going to spend a lot of time on lists. Keith's got me on a list where I'm already struggling on day three to come up with one.
Oh, man. No, yeah, I think I didn't even post for today yet. That's just – my buddy put me on it, and I was like, nah, let's just go do this.
What's our favorite albums? It's a fun retrospective.
I'll give you the credit that is – I'm happy to eat crow when appropriate, and in this case, I will. Because I was like, okay, at any age. So it's the 10 albums that influenced you, no context, put the album up there – And influenced you at any age. And I was like sitting there thinking about it, I'm like, huh. So I ended up actually thinking about it. And I liked that it wasn't just like you. It was my friend, a couple of my friends from Ren Faire were doing it. And I was like, all right, fine. That's actually, I saw a couple of my other friends do it, Keith, when I messaged that. And he was like, fine. So.
Yeah, it's a fun little thing. Yeah, everybody's just posting an album a day with the cover. And if. You know, it gets people to go check some things out. I think that's it's a fun exercise too to reflect on some things because it's at any age, which and just it doesn't mean it has to be something that stuck with you or you go back and listen to, but right. that in some way influenced you and made you you know aware of something or who knows what it is. And I love that it's like no context or nothing. And Matt's like, I'm a rebel. I'm gonna give context to this pick. And I was like, it's Matt. I'll give it to him. It's Matt. Also, didn't realize that's cool to know about Matt's how Matt got into Cradle of Filth.
I was going to say, did anyone even bother reading them?
I did, about how it influenced you reading new things and looking into other stuff.
If you're going to roll Matt into chainmail and get him to actually do it, I bitched about it. He was like, okay, I'll do it, but I'll do it fucking my way. God damn it.
No, listen, if I'm going to do a chain letter, I'm going to make it worse. Like, that's just how it goes.
It is the modern chain letter, totally, being like, you do this now.
Oh, when you these tag things like this are totally chain letters. I think it was John who even turned me on to that idea where he was like, you know, don't tag me in on that bullshit because it will never, ever get shared ever by me. And I was just like, and then I saw a meme today that was like, I'm starting to wonder if it's because I didn't forward that letter to 10 people that this is going on.
I didn't share the cat meme, and now I'm cursed.
I was like, listen, that's pretty fucking funny.
Here's how it goes with me. If you're going to get me to talk about me, I'm not tagging anyone else, because now this is about me, fuckers, and that's all it's going to be.
Yeah, I feel like I wouldn't be doing half this stuff, like, because I really wasn't for a while, but now that I'm just there's so much time that I'm like, I'll just do this silly shit, because I'm not, like, getting up, going to work, and too tired to want to do it, and instead I'll play video, you know what I mean? It's
okay, real quick. Oh, go ahead, John. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, like, for me, like, I picked a movie, a wrestling match, and a album from every year I've been alive. And I'm like, I'm going to take one of each in. And, like, little things for us. Like, I was looking through albums from 1985. I was like, I've never listened to Kate Bush. Maybe today's the day. So I was listening to her, and I was there going, I don't think I like her music, but I appreciate how 100% feminine it is. Like, there's nothing masculine about her music, and that's kind of refreshing, because a lot of music is very masculine. A lot of music that I like is very masculine, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, but her music is not, like, because when I think of feminine music, I just think of fucking bullshit bop music.
Yeah.
But her, like, she is, like, a genuine artist who creates a very feminine-focused kind of audio experience. Great singer, like all that, but I just don't know if I like it or not. You know, it's like, I was listening to Prong as well. I'm sure Matt's the only person who knows who Prong are.
I don't know, sorry,
blanking on this one.
Well, one of my favorite album artists, and one of my favorite artists in general, is that guy Pusshead. He did all the Misfits album covers back in the day. He did all the Metallica ones. So he did like the, you know, you know his style if you see it. He did the Saint Anger album cover. If you remember that.
Okay. Yep.
But I love his art style, and he did that. He did one of Prong's album covers. I remember going, one day I'm going to sit down and listen to that. And I listened to it, and I was there going, this is like a communion wafer. I have no connection to this music. It fucking blows. But I was like, if I saw a vinyl for like £2, I'd buy it just so I could put the art on my wall, because I love his art. Mm-hmm. Just kind of like, his art is like if Jack Kirby worked for Image in the 90s. It's like, you know, Jack Kirby
stuff. That's a valid. There's like, yeah, a lot of little dots and blood everywhere.
Yeah. It's like an edgier Jack Kirby. But, yeah, so it's fun going through all this stuff. And, like, the wrestling matches have been easier to watch just because they're not that long. But I watched the one, it was Jushin Liger and Koji Kanemoto, and I picked it out because I was there going, I like both guys. Big, huge fan of Liger, obviously. The most I've cried this year was during Liger's retirement. But, I'm not kidding. I don't know how I didn't pass it. Man, I'm not kidding. That lasted, like, for half an hour, and I cried through all of it. Like, the whole way, I was like, it was almost sore. I was almost in pain from crying so much. And then I'd stop, and then, like, they'd show Tanahashi crying. And they're going, oh, don't show me him being sad. I can't take it.
Did a samurai show up on a horse and just say, dishonor, all of you?
But, yeah, I had to cut my top knot off. But,
All right, I got it. Before you start talking about wrestling for the next hour, there is something. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, like, it's easy to watch that stuff. Like, I'm not talking in context about any of that, but it was. I don't know. It's like, it's all the stuff that you're like, someday I'll sit down with this, and these are the days, you know, and don't feel guilty about it.
Agreed. Like, if you ever wanted to go on a retrospective fucking journey, now is the exact perfect time to do that shit. I agree with that 100%. But you know what? While you're doing
the internet during all of this, or people would be out seriously fucking each other.
I'd be starting fires right
now. Seriously, though, I think the only reason that it's a minimum number of problems with that sort of thing, and it is happening. I mean, these two guys up in Maine, my sister sent me an article. They like. Because, you know, all these, like, city guys are, like, fleeing to their lake houses and up north and everything. Except that what they're doing is that they're bringing the disease with them to these places. And these are much smaller areas. And so, but what's happening is, like, so up here in one of the, like, central Maine places, they, like, thought this dude from Jersey had the disease. So they, like, cut down the tree to his, like, cabin and, like, blocked off his driveway. And the police called. And was
that's a little excessive, guys.
Shit.
Just don't go to his house. Like, that's a little excessive.
No, I mean, this is what's happening in central Maine, so.
Also, yeah, don't make Sidecast be the voice of reason, world. Like, don't. No. If we got to point out that you don't stop a virus with violence, then you're an idiot, and unsubscribe from the show,
Matt,
please.
You definitely do, because you go buy more guns so you can shoot at it.
It's not how you stop a virus.
You sure?
Look, I know you're joking.
You TP it?
I mean,
I think that must be why everybody's, like, hoarding it, right?
I mean, I don't know. Anyway.
It'll get rid of it. It's the good wipe.
Speaking of having a good shit, we've talked about it before on this show. SCPs, who's familiar with them?
I am.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, haunted objects or mystery objects kind of thing.
Oh,
sentient objects, even.
Not all of the above and none of the above, depending on which file you're talking about. I was late to the SCP party, but for the past, like, 2 years, I've been all about them. Yes, John?
Nothing. Keep going.
Okay. Sure. Well, the game Control was on sale this week for like $20. John, you in particular need to play this game.
Okay.
Like, it is from the creators of Alan Wake.
Oh.
And it is literally all about SCPs. You go into a building that is an SCP, they call it the Center of Control, because, you know, copyrights and all that shit. But one of the first things I walk into is a giant prison cell with a jukebox in it, John. And I'm like, oh, shit, I'm in danger. I have to get out. Like, it is such a delightful, awesome, fucked up piece of science fiction. It really is. It is very much almost a duplicate of the SCP story, which in case you don't know,
Protect. Why don't you tell me?
SCP is a website where fans
It stands for Sane Clown Posse.
Sane Clown Posse, yes. Secure, Contain, Protect is what it stands for. And it's an online website where fans submit stories about items that are of otherworldly nature. And this is from everything from haunted teddy bears to a portal to Hitler's secret bunker that is located up some German lady's nose. Like, it spans the spectrum, people.
Maybe I shouldn't have asked and just let you go.
No, dive in, Mel. Dive the fuck in.
It's phenomenal.
It's like X-Files, and X-Files were written as actual files. And, you know, it's led to just everything from, like, the obscenely, like, tragic to the hysterically, obscene, like, a million different things. There's a Cthulhu monster that asks to be locked up by the SCP agency because every time he runs into people, they feel the need to kill themselves and others around them, and he just wants to be left alone. Like, it's, like...
That's a joke in that, you know, Drive Angry? You ever seen that?
Yeah.
Yes.
The Nick Cage movie? There's William Fichtner. He's the best thing in that film. He plays Anubis. And he's... He calls himself an accountant, and he just, cause Nick Cage escapes from hell, cause of course he does. And he's like, I will put you back there because the balances are off. And Anubis obviously was balancing things all the time. And he was in this like satanic church, and this guy goes, I have a pact with Satan. And he just goes, oh, you do? That's funny. He never mentioned it. You'd think it'd be important.
You know what? Like that type of humor. That's what this game has in spades. Continue, John. Sorry.
Later on in the film, then, he just goes, listen, Satan, he's a very quiet man. You know? And he goes, there's a lot of misconceptions about him, but the one thing I know he hates the most, he said, is the sacrifice of children in his name, because it just funnels more idiots right into his prison that he has to look after.
Good. But yeah, it's so if you liked Alan Wake with like finding the manuscript pages and like learning about the world through this shit and like the little like radio shows and TV shows that were scattered throughout, it's got all of that. The TV shows are live acted like in Alan Wake, but like HD quality, and they're intentionally goofball. They look like a 90s TV show while you're watching them.
Well, if it isn't, Dean Koontz himself.
Well,
isn't the whole plot, it's basically you show up at this facility and you're not sure why you're there, but like, and it's something goes wrong. That's like all kind of what the setup is.
Here's the setup without spoiling it. The building itself is called the oldest house in America. And you cannot find the building unless you know that it exists. And this character seems to be psychic and telekinetic, and she is talking to somebody third-personally who I suspect is me, the direct player. Don't know, only a couple of hours into the game. But she walks in looking for her brother who was taken by this agency whenever. And as soon as you walk in, the director shoots himself in the head with one of these SCP-like weapons. Once you pick up the weapon, this is the first 5 minutes of it. It tells you that, okay, this specific item, they call it OOPs, Object of Powers, or OOPS, is the most dangerous one in the world because it's literally a game of Russian roulette. You have, at the minute you pick it up, you put it to your head and you pull the trigger, you are not in control of it. But if you win Russian roulette with it, you become the fucking chairman of the control center. So you are immediately turned into the boss. And upon turning into the boss, you realize that the reason the old boss killed himself is so that he could communicate through this item to you psychically. And that's where the game starts. And like I said, it's a giant facility that literally changes its own shape, which is why they picked this place to be the control center of it. But something got in, and it got in just before you entered the building. So the idea of, were you responsible? Did it call you in? Blah, blah, blah. We don't know, but it's called the hiss. And it's this otherworldly sound that makes people go insane. And the whole point of the game is you're trying to get rid of the hiss so that these people can go on containing these fucked up objects. And you get to collect objects as you go through it. So the first one I got was this weird-ass gun. It's basically your main weapon for the game and blah, blah, blah. It's not that interesting. But the second item I got is a Soviet-era floppy disk, 8-inch by 4-inch disk, that gives you telekinetic powers. It also has every nuke code, launching code on it of all time. But you get to use it. But you get to use it to fling shit around the fucking building. And unfortunately, the sale ends at the time of this recording. But like, it was on sale for $20, and honestly, best fucking $20 I've ever spent on a video game. This thing is absurdly entertaining.
Sorry, I sent Mel a picture. It's just Rocky Romero with his dogs, so I figured she'd like it.
You sure did.
With him sitting with his little doggies in his living room.
He just, it looks like he's taking himself seriously, even though he just looks like a dad.
Yeah.
But no, that game, they're so
cute. I love that he, in his, the 8x10 of him that I have from last summer, he's got the dog, one of the dogs. It's the one on the left in the picture, the one with the colors in the picture with him. So cute. Love that.
I will definitely play Control. I did not know it was made by the people who made Alan Wake.
Alan Wake's typewriter is a SCP in this game.
That's awesome.
Which is awesome, yeah.
That's fucking great.
There's hints at DLC, like, dealing with Alan Wake, apparently. I don't know if it came out or...
I think it comes out today as we are recording, which is probably why it was on sale all last week.
What is this thing called again, though? What is
Control. The game is called Control. Unfortunately, not for PC yet. Just for Xbox and PC. Because I was actually going to buy it. Oh, sorry. Yeah, PS4 and Xbox One.
I heard it runs better on the PS4 Pro, that was the thing. That it runs a little chunky on the regular PS4.
Like Alan Wake, it's got a little chunk in the butt. Like, it's not the smoothest running game in the world. But the actual action of it is not really the high selling point of it. For me, it's the same thing with the Alan Wake. It's the story is captivating. The place is huge, and you're running around every little fucking room trying to find every collectible that there is. Because, like, they've actually written their own SCP stories in it, too. Like, they're talking about, like, light switches that, like, teleport you to a hotel somewhere. And then 3 hours later in the game, you actually fucking find it. And so it's like, oh, if you read this file, you know how this fucking SCP works, and it's actually a puzzle to try to get through.
So it takes the time, and it actually pays off, like in Alan Wake.
Yes, exactly. I'm like, everything, like, the minute you start to play it, you go, this is Alan Wake. Like, this feels like what that team would have done 15 years later. Like, that's exactly what this is. And it's cool, like, the building that changes on you is neat, so it makes it, like, trying to, like, maneuver through the map a challenge and shit like that. And it's cool. It's more fun than I thought it would be, and I would have bought it back then if I knew it was this cool. You know what I mean?
Like, you got it cheaper.
I did get it cheaper, and I saved it for a time where I needed it. You know? Yeah. But that's what I'll chalk it up to. Sorry, you only got $20 out of me, though. But honestly, like, if I like something, I'm going to sing its praises. And I think that this crew would probably really enjoy that style of bizarre macabre. You know, it's fun stuff. Yeah, but that's the only things new I've been doing, getting fucking laid off and playing video games.
And crying, obviously. And,
dude, so much every night. Just, like a little, like, the walls are soaked with tears and other fluids, because it has just been a lonely, sad existence.
Like, Matt's just...
tear stains in the wall.
I got 5 more weeks of this shit!
I don't know, man.
Week 4, you'll finally start understanding, like, bands like The Used.
That was so bad, I'm gonna go piss. Yeah, continue the story. Be right back.
I just remember bands...
Us alone.
Well, he's got to go give birth or whatever.
I know.
Matt's the kind of guy that I honestly wouldn't be surprised if, like, you went into his bathroom and there's just, like, a giant egg in there. And like, just constantly a hot shower running on top of it. And he's like, One of these days is going to hatch.
Like a Yoshi egg? That's kind of perfect.
I don't know. I almost see like a purple patch that looks infected on it in my head. You know?
Where did this come from? I can't even process how you thought of that.
But I'm thinking very, it is like a giant Yoshi style egg now because...
Keith, I'm a very creative person.
Oh, yes.
I'm deeply creative.
It's you know, I just wanted these special people.
I was more wondering how you knew about my egg and why you would think Matt would have one and not me.
Jesus God.
Well, I've been here.
Like, I thought there was only one.
Oh, not this house. Not this house. I thought I was the only one with an egg.
But it's you push
it around like a penguin. Like, when you're during the day.
You gotta give your egg exercise, man. Right. It needs exercise. You can't just let it sit in the shower all day. Come on. It needs to move. Ain't gonna hatch by itself.
Like, I could just see Matt in particular, though, finding an egg outside of a dumpster.
Yeah, be like...
And he puts it out in the sun for an hour or something. And then just rolls it back into the house.
And it gets bigger, like, every day. And he's like, oh, that's interesting.
And bits of it start to rot, and on the third week, just like a little bony finger starts poking its way out of it.
Part dinosaur.
I think
part
I heard the egg call me dad.
Daddy.
Well, it reminds me, one of the funniest things I ever heard. And this tells you a lot about me, I suppose, that it's one of the funniest things I ever heard. But there was this, I might have told you guys this story before, but a friend of mine, there was this girl, and she was trying to argue with him about his opinions on abortion. And she was there going, oh yeah, where do you draw the line, huh? You think abortion is a good thing? At what point do you think it's okay to kill a baby? And he said, well, I think, you know, when a baby's born, she goes, yeah. He said, I think the doctor should just hold it up by its feet and go, are you sure you want this? and he just goes, and if they say no, he can just run a scissors through its head. And I just love that there wasn't a plan for a humane way of getting rid of it. It was like, just get this and just imagine the doctors go, well, that's why they have those soft patches on top. Just makes it
easy.
And then he just fucking, you know,
I love how extreme that answer is, though.
That was him, though. He was Mr. Extreme. Still
because
is mystery.
It's like so absurd. You know that a person doesn't believe that, and then you've got those crazy people that are doing that, and it's just like, let me go.
He was Mr. Extreme. When did he lose the title?
Mm-hmm. So he is still. He's very much a.
Okay. Sorry. I was worried. Yeah. There was some.
What
other
happened
Mr.
to Mr. Extreme? Who's Mr. Extreme now? Is that you,
Jim? Yeah, I was worried. I was worried for a moment. He said he wasn't. I was like, I don't know, man.
He
that's
died.
Pretty extreme.
He got the
there
flux.
Wasn't a word for
he got
him.
The flux.
Okay, but there wasn't a word for people like him back in the day. We have one now. He's an edgelord.
Edgelord, yes.
Oh, okay.
I love that we have a word for that now.
Me too.
I had to explain it to my girlfriend. She didn't know what an edgelord was, and I was like...
I love that I told my sister her daughter was being a little edgelord, and she thought that was the greatest word in the history of man, so...
I think
every teenage girl is an edgelord right now, because they're all
not
sitting in their rooms going...
Not a teenager, though. She's seven, so...
Oh. Well, I'm sure every child is a bit of an edgelord at the moment. I've heard stories of kids, like, crying and saying they'd rather die right now than have to be stuck inside this long and da-da-da-da-da.
Oh, they can't get it. They actually bought... I meant to tell you guys, they're playing Animal Crossing 2 now.
Of course they are.
Everybody fucking is.
What else is there to do?
Yeah, but like, Switches okay. are like $10,000,000,000 more than usual now because
oh,
everyone's
Oh, I'm sure
playing.
There's someone... Yeah, so. There might be a shortage on
I missed that
Switches.
Boat long, long ago. I'm not going to have
half an hour of the... this WrestleMania that's been taped? Half an hour of it is going to be Vince playing Animal Crossing.
Look at this.
Check out my island.
Look at this. This fucking owl, he wants me to give 15 fucking things for free to make a fucking museum.
What the fuck are these peaches doing here? Who even needs them?
Vince actually does have... Vince has a Tyrannosaurus Rex skull in his office.
Of course he does.
Triple H gave it to him as a Father's Day present or something.
Oh my God.
But it's not a real one,
obviously.
I found a T-Rex tail in my Animal Crossing game, so I'm on my way.
I almost have a full T-Rex. And the tail might be the only thing I'm missing, to be honest with you.
Well, it's mine. You can't have it. It's already done.
But it could be a complete T-Rex.
I wish you could donate to other people's museums, because then, like, why? So then, otherwise, you go to everything in your museum that says donated by RoboDuke. And it's like,
oh, yeah, get your title.
Like, why couldn't I donate something to my friends so it could say, like, donated by RoboDuke on their island? You know what I mean? Like, wouldn't that be cool? I tried to do it. You can't donate to friends' museums.
Well, can you drop off the item so that they can turn it in?
Oh, yeah, but it would still be theirs. I'm like, I just think it's funny if you walk through a museum and every single plaque had one person's name, like the whole museum's donated by one fucking guy.
I mean, that's pretty much Animal Crossing in a nutshell. You're the only one doing actual work on that island.
Yes. But then they give you, like, cool outfits and stuff.
Where are they getting them? You know what this is? When you really get down to it, Animal Crossing is you are the custodian for hipsters. They just changed hipsters for animals.
I don't know. I gave myself the most land. I'm the best janitor there is because I got the most land on my island.
But the others
don't
work.
They're all on the other side.
But the others don't work. They're all independently wealthy, or mommy and daddy are paying the bill.
Oh, yeah, for sure. They're away on vacation on this place. I just built my campsite, so I'm going to get a lot of weird little hipsters coming in to stay for the weekend.
There is a hippie dog that comes up to me and goes, hey, man, I like your island. It's got a lot of cool stuff. Want to come to mine? Yeah, sure. I thought he's being friendly. No, business proposal. He's like, yo, I take pictures. You want to bring friends over here and pay me so I can take pictures? No, asshole. No, I don't.
I haven't gone to Harvey's Island.
Come back to my island, you asshole.
Yeah, when he was like, you want to come to my island and take some pictures? I was like, yeah, what maybe someday, Harv. I'm good.
I'm gonna make a bunch of New Japan gear, and then I'll bring everybody there so they can all take New Japan photos.
Yeah, we'll pose together. That'd be fun. I mean, can we go to their island? Is it possible to go to that island together with friends? I guess.
I don't know. But I do. As I made that Okada coat, but I want to make more stuff like that. That part of it is really fun. Like sitting down to figure out how to design something. I tried to make Macho King Randy Savage gear, but it just, like, the design that Savage had for his gear just does not want to be tamed. And that's the lesson.
Yeah, it's hard to recreate stuff in there. I actually find myself enjoying the in-game clothes more, just because they could have more to them, like layers and like things that stick out and stuff like that. So I've been kind of like just trying to buy as many clothes or find as many as I can. I did use my Mario Paint book and make Ryu into a t-shirt. And Plock. I have a Plock t-shirt as well.
It's a good way to kill an hour.
I haven't done it recently because I've been on a...
Or 20.
So I've been trying to get money, but I have friends who will spend all night doing tarantula islands and have 70 tarantulas waiting outside the shop to sell in the morning and stuff. Like, they're crazy, man. I'm like, how are you going to enjoy this game if you power through it? The whole point is to just kind of chill and do what you want and walk around and play your loot. Or my ocarina, I mean.
The whole point is to get away from the rat race, not to recreate it.
Yeah, seriously.
Humans can't help but do it, man. They do it in video games all the time. They just recreate an economic system and where's the fun in that?
The people that are how many people are freaking out right now because they only define themselves around their jobs and nothing else here? I've noticed,
God. Amen. Amen, Mel. Thank you.
All these people that are stuck at home, it's like, stop bitching. It's like, I'm so happy. It's like, I get to hang out with Bob. We're doing stuff around the house. We're hanging out together. We take the dogs outside. He's safe here, not out in fucking... It's like, these people can't survive without somebody telling them what to fucking do.
Now, to be fair...
I'm not saying everyone. I'm saying that there is a contingent of humans in our society that...
rely on external stimuli.
Yeah.
And to be fair, look, some people just need to be able to go and do things. You know what I mean? Sure. And I'll give them that.
I do. I want to go back to work. I like working.
I like collecting the paycheck.
Sure, being productive and having a paycheck, fine.
Not even, just talking to people and stuff. Being able to interact.
Yeah, but the amount of bitching that I hear about specific things, first of all, one thing, Mel's right, look, it's a bad fucking month for everybody in the world. In the world. Mm-hmm. So, Okay, yeah, everyone's upset. Everybody. But at the same time, when I hear the man, my kids want to go out, I'm sick of yelling at my husband, blah, blah, blah. It's like, hey, you know what? You know what could be worse? You know what could be fucking worse? Being in quarantine and no one is around. Yeah. Okay, assholes? Isolation. Without internet, without television, without power. You know, things that people have to go through a lot during much worse situations than you have right now. Shush. You know what I mean? It's a bad fucking month for everybody.
Everybody everywhere.
Everyone is frustrated. Everybody. Don't make the matter worse.
I think a lot of fucking families are realizing how much they hate each other.
Well, I mean, that's a terrible real estate.
Oh, man. I saw my one buddy post, and he's like, oh, man, I should get into divorce, become a divorce lawyer, like, study that over this time, because people are going to be getting divorced left and right once they realize
how much they actually
don't like their spouse. I saw a story in North Philly, like, some lady, like, beat her husband with a frying pan to death or something. Like,
way to go, Philly!
Yeah, like, there's already some shit going down, so...
You know what? I'm okay with some of the, survival of the fittest situations happening, so, I mean...
Well,
I don't wish ill on anyone.
I plan on getting into actual woodworking once this is all over, because I would have been watching or playing Animal Crossing, and I'm just there going, yeah, I think I'd like to make a chair. Like, this time is making me go... Because there's something about making something, whether it's art or... whatever, it's like there's something left from your labor. Mm-hmm. Matt probably experiences that a lot in work, where you make something and you go, oh, look, here is literally the fruit of my labor. And I think I'd like to do that, but I'd like to make a fucking Tanahashi statue or something. I don't know.
Yeah, me and Charlie, like last Thursday, it was really nice, and he was off, and we did a bunch of yard work. We literally built a rock pit, and like, whoever lived here before decided to cover their back porch with their back cement porch with rocks. And we realized it was probably to cover the crappy job because we're scraping it all off. And we're like, let's move the rocks over here. And we bricked it, like took extra bricks and built this like little garbage pit with all the rocks and stuff. And I was like, oh shit, we're doing real life Animal Crossing. This is great. And it's been cloudy, cold and rainy every day since.
Same. Today was the first day where it got a little nice.
Like, we're going to get all this yard work done. Let's do a little bit out of day. We got in like, and Friday we did a little bit, but like it's just like been crummy since, so we haven't had a chance to get back out there and do more. It sucks.
It was really nice out there like 2 or 3 days ago, and what's great is usually when you go to places that have nice views, it's really hard to find a spot for your telescope. There's fucking nobody around. Right. Brought my telescope, I'm like going, I am looking at those fucking mountains, and there's not a thing anyone can do about it. I'm going to see if I can spot animals running around on it. Because nice. You can do that.
Oh, that's cool.
It's because this is the thing, like, it's you forget that like nature is out there, you know.
But well, people are remembered and nature's remembering too. Like, I swear it's more birds and shit around when I'm outside, like having a smoke and I'm listening. I'm like, is it just like noise? Is it just spring's early or is it just there's less people?
No, it's spring and you don't realize it because you've been in your house for the last 3 fucking weeks.
Well, not to mention that it's way quieter because there's so many less things moving.
There's
around.
Less more traffic animals and shit.
Yeah,
it is so much quieter.
Apparently, I mean, a bunch of
my neighborhood.
Well,
yeah, I mean,
because,
that is
I
the
mean,
thing.
Crammed together.
This is all a conspiracy, man. This is how they're fighting climate change. They're making us all stay inside for a month. And if we don't do as much, maybe it'll, like, reverse it a little bit if we do, like, a whole month indoors.
Speaking of work,
that's the best conspiracy theory ever, if that's true.
If they proposed that, we'd all do it.
Well, if they gave us money. And like, no, they have to create a situation, an excuse, an invisible monster, if you will.
Listen. So... one of the good things about not having to been at work for the past week and a half is that the normal conspiratorial nutcases that I work with haven't been here. And today they started a group fucking text when we found out that the governor pushed us a month ahead of when we were supposed to go back next Tuesday. Ain't happening. So they got into a group text and decided to add me to it. And yeah, and I'm like, I just simply wrote, I'm like, get me the fuck out of this group. I'm not spending the next 4 weeks having to listen to the drivel you idiots give me while I'm at work, while I'm in my home. No way. No fucking way.
You sure?
and positive. Secondly, I don't know if I ever sent this to you, but I just linked my fucking catalog for our company. Everything made out of metal I make. So if anyone actually wondered on this show what it is I did for a living, there it is. Or used to do, rather.
You're like, I'm not there right now. Here it is.
I'm just sitting there, like, sitting there, like, thinking, like, oh, I used to do things. I used to be important of some sort of variety. Now I'm not.
You'll be fine. You'll be important again.
One day. One
day, my job will define me and make me feel important again.
Well, for all you know, you'll find something new, because things are going to change, whether people like it or not.
There's no way
that we can go straight back to being ding-dongs about these things.
Especially here,
there's going to be a lot less people to choose from.
These things aside, I don't know. I don't think my company survives this year.
I don't know if the restaurant will come back. I mean, the guy has 9 of them. He may decide this one because the mall was already dying, and because of this, the mall's going to be affected, that I'm not opening this one in this mall again. For all I know, that could happen in the next couple of weeks. He could decide we're never opening this place again because whatever.
They did call me today and say, yo, be ready for the 4th, but who knows? You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, we don't have anything. Yeah. We have no date. We have nothing.
Yep, that's okay. I still got 28 weeks before I have to worry.
So, but hey, tax day got pushed back, so there's that.
To July.
Tax day should be canceled this year, but I don't get into that.
No,
either.
I want my rebate back. Fuck that noise.
No, just send us an extra, like, more than $1,200. Here's what's gonna happen: they're gonna send us that $1,200 check, and they're gonna realize it's not enough, and they're gonna have to do it again.
Of course.
Yeah, probably.
I think they're just planning to only do it once, hoping it'll work. But I feel they'll do it again if they have to.
Well, I'll just tell you this: is that I've
but
done
also,
my taxes.
Yeah, this is America.
I've done my taxes, like, I've done an overview of them, I already knew, because I wanted to get an idea of what that was going to look like, and $1,200 is about exactly what a married filing singly couple will owe this year, because they doubled the standard deduction, and all those fucking tax cuts that they gave to the billionaires a few years ago, again, are coming into effect, which means that the standard deduction for everybody is going to double. If you look at the, I mean, this is my giant conspiracy theory, but if you look at those amounts, that's about what everybody would owe in their taxes. I feel like I'm going to have to turn around and just hand that money back to them.
I don't owe that much. I do owe a bit to the state. I don't think I owe anything federally this year, surprisingly, but I think I owe a bit to the state.
See, our state governor, the one thing she did do is actually say they moved state taxes and they're not really charging people. They're, like, lowering the – if you owe money, they're letting you have a, like, ton of time. Most people will get money back at this point because of unemployment.
I'm actually going to apply. I don't know what I have to do to apply for Just Give Info. There's a restaurant workers relief fund.
Nice.
Guy Fieri started that. Sweet. Application start April 2nd. So I'm going to sign up for that. Good. And just be smart. Like, what
no,
I do,
that's
what I want to fucking do. No, that's the thing. Here's the thing about Guy Fieri. It's fine we made fun of him, but people had – the internet came around on him. It was funny. Like, everybody used to make fun of him. Now everybody loves him. And the truth is, like, he is very passionate about restaurants. Like, when he goes around to those places, yeah, he's hamming it up on camera a bit, but, like, he really does love the business. Mm-hmm. He started, I think, different scholarships for restaurant workers. I think he's done work helping ex-cons get jobs again, you know, working in restaurants. Like, he does a lot. The reason his restaurant failed is because he handed off his image to a bunch of assholes. Mm-hmm. And,
I got nothing against his restaurant or anything like that. He's just insufferable in every show.
He's not that great. Like, it's like,
I think, a bit.
Okay, guys.
It's his gimmick, but he's amazing. He's great.
What's
great.
More important than all of that, though, right? Is, have you seen Juice Thunder Liger's vlog?
No, I saw you posting about him talking about taking baths.
It's amazing. He gets up at 6:30 in the morning. All right. And he's like, they're going, oh, I make breakfast for myself. And he goes through the whole thing, how he makes breakfast, which looks like a dinner for a normal human. And, then it's just like at like 7 or 8 in the morning, he's like, oh, yeah, I sneak a little bit of time for myself now and make a little Godzilla model. And he's just this, like, you're like, you are a very unique human being. You're just like you're just 54-year-old man sitting in your mask, going, oh, yeah, "I'm gonna make a kaiju model for myself." And he's and the way he's going on about it, he's being sneaky about it. He's there going, oh, "Everybody thinks this is kind of silly, but you know, I like to take a bit of time to do it." I'm like, "You're literally wearing a mask, right? You cannot, like, nobody can give you shit about your hobbies being silly when you are famous the world over for being." A tiger lion man, and he's just it's so funny. And then like he's giving out about the bat, where he's like the young lions, they leave the bat, they leave it looking green apparently, and he's there going, I don't like it, I will clean this bat until I get into it. He's like, I don't care what people say about me, I love bats. And I just love how quaint his the things he does in his life are. And what's funny about him is like he moved into the New Japan dojo in like 1982 and still fucking lives there. Like his family, his hometown is Fukuoka, and his wife and son live in this apparently giant house that he bought there, and he spends like 3 or 4 days of the week with them, but the other 3 days he's like, go back to my room in the dojo.
He probably misses it right now. He's probably not there, I guess.
No, he is there, yeah.
Oh, that is where he is. Oh, he is there.
Oh, no,
I thought he was showing his place.
He'd be there before he'd be with his family, probably.
Damn. Jushin Liger will fucking die in that place.
Yeah, probably.
Like, the thing I love about that, the dojo, is the fact that literally it's full of old-timers. They use it as their gym. Like it's like something from Yakuza or something, where it's like these old wrestlers all convene in the morning and eat chanko, and then they all go do squats and stuff. And I'd love to just sit there and just kind of watch them.
Yeah.
And these are guys who had like public followings out with the company, and then they turn 55 or whatever, and the company's like, come down and use the exercise bike, sure, it'll keep you out of trouble. You
know? Yeah, forgive and forget, why not? But, at least forgive, never forget.
It's a thing that I think is admirable about Japanese culture, is the way that old and young people tend to socialize a lot more than they do elsewhere. Like, you know, it's like seen as an old person's job to communicate with younger people there.
Yeah,
and I was talking to somebody about like I don't have. I'm not like other girls. I have different ambitions. You know what I mean? I don't like makeup. You know, I'm more into like fucking metal. But I was talking to someone about my ambitions, my long term ambitions, and I said I think I just love to be like in my 80s or 90s, and just like still and figuring out a way, even though my body's broken down, to help people like create stuff like I used to when I was able to. And I love the idea of that. Like they do that in Japan, where it's like the old timers will just be like, oh yeah, I'll teach you how to fucking make a kimono. And then they just help these younger people to do these things. I think that's my ultimate ambition. I don't care what happens between now and when I'm 80. I just want to be able to, I'd love to be able to pass on knowledge to people, learn stuff myself, and have the people in the old folks home wheel me into the wrestling matches every month. Because I want to be like 98 on my deathbed, and the deathbed is being wheeled into the building for the matches, because I'm like, there's a guy from Mexico on the card. I will be there.
You gotta see this young kid. Oh my god, he's amazing.
Well, I can't wait to be like 90 years old and going, let me tell you, you people don't know anything. When I was a young man, Kazuchika Okada was the best wrestler in the world.
Are you gonna do your version of you kids are killing the business?
Fuck that, I'll be there going, lads, more jetpacks and wrestling, let's get going.
That's what I like about John. See, that's the way you're supposed to do it, though. You're supposed to pass on your knowledge. Should be the way to go.
And this is why some people become miserable in their older age. You're not supposed to stop learning when you leave school.
God, I hope not.
What?
Keep learning stuff. It's what makes life worth fucking living.
No, man. It's my kids, man. That's my life. Just my kids. I don't have to learn anything. I just need to have kids.
Your kids should be an excuse to learn more stuff.
No, man, the schools will teach them. I need to make sure that my legacy goes on, because that's what's important.
Honestly, if I had a kid, they'd be bored of me going, hey, man, Let's learn about the fucking Olmecs, am I right?
Yeah. Shut the fuck up! I just want to smoke weed and listen to music. Oh, man, let me tell you, back when I was 14, we had the greatest weed. It was this type of strand and fuck. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a very rare person that has a kid with the enthusiasm to teach them shit.
Yes!
It's very rare. I love my parents. They haven't taught me shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed.
Well, I don't know about that first.
Well, half, I mean, that's not entirely true for me.
Yeah, maybe.
They should have taught me more. Let me put it that way.
I feel like mine could have been more honest with me, or open. But again, having not been a parent myself, it's hard. I just wish they'd worked. I wish my parents had worked their own mental shit out before they had had kids. Or at least been able to accept their mental shit enough to get by it.
Well, that's that whole generation's problem. Like, one thing I always give to my mom, like, I could read and write properly by the time I was 4. Mm-hmm. You know, and, like, I remember going into school and them kind of going, "No, well, we don't really have anything to teach you for the first year." And you know, and my mom wasn't like an intellectual person who was going out and reading history books and all that, but she encouraged me to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember she'd always ask me about it. She was like, "What's going on now? What are you into this month?" I'd be like, "Well, it's all about volcanoes." You know. And it's a thin line to walk. But yeah. I definitely think it's your duty to leave your kids smarter than you are.
Like I said, that wasn't criticism. I'm just saying it's rare when you find a parent that has the enthusiasm to teach. And I don't mean like, "Here's my favorite thing, son, come learn a thing." I mean teach. Like, "All right, this child, this progeny of mine, here's what I know, and I'm going to cross-check to make sure that I know what I'm talking about." Not just preach, but
or
actually.
Or we can cross-check together.
Yeah, like it's cool when I actually see that. That's the only part I was getting at, because I feel those kids have a future. But you know,
well, those are the kids that I want taking care of me when I get older. And
yeah, pretty much.
Older. I mean, because I have a concept of the fact that especially someone like me who has no kids, I'm going to need those kids to be a lot smarter because I'll get old eventually too.
That's how it works.
That is how it works. Yeah. Anyhow.
In theory.
I just hope by the time I'm old that they'll have like that technology from Black Mirror where they're just like, "I don't know, just put your brain in a computer and go hang out in the arcade and fuck people." I'm like, "Yeah, man, that sounds great." You know, I know it's like I'd be there going, "Is there a program where I can just like, you know, go fucking watch wrestling matches all the time?" Like, "Yeah, definitely." I'm like, "Great,
John, there's a program where you could be in the wrestling matches. You want to wrestle Kazuchika Okada?"
I don't even know if I want to. I know. Here's the thing. I know I could have an amazing match with Okada,
especially in virtual reality where you can.
Oh no, in the real world right now. If I had to have a match with Okada tomorrow, I'd have an amazing match with him. Because he's so good. That he just, yeah, he'd be like, "Man, just follow me.
Just do what I tell you to do."
It's like, I remember being I did a judo exhibition for a Japanese cultural exchange years ago. I was going to say the emperor of Japan. The ambassador of Japan was there. And,
fucking fuck with the emperor.
Yeah. But the ambassador was there and like taking part in this like cross cultural exchange and all the rest. I remember they gave me this little kid to do an exhibition with, and I was like, "Oh, not a problem, lads, not a problem." And I literally worked a match with him. I was like, "Listen, I'm just going to put you in holds, all right? And then I'm going to, you know, put you in an armbar and put whatever else, and then I'm gonna tap you, and then you're gonna get up and you're gonna throw me." And I just remember, like, I worked heel with this kid, and then I remember I got up, and obviously I let him throw me, and I remember there was all these like girls from the local secondary school, and they went ape shit when this kid beat me at the end. And I was there going, "Fucking, I got this."
What a hero.
I'm basically Ric Flair.
How old was the kid?
He was like 9. He was really good, though. I remember like, he was.
I believe it. I'm just laughing at the irony of it all.
But that's the thing. Like, it was just me and him, and I was there going, "Listen, I'm just gonna because I used to lead classes with him anyway, and I mean, we're like, look, I'm gonna do this to you, this to you. Like, I'll throw you around, and I'll get you on the ground. I'll put you in a few holes, and then we'll work out with that. And you like, we'll get up, and you can beat me. And he's like, yeah, that sounds great. It sounds fun. We just did that. And I was just there going, yeah, fucking working the matches for the ambassador. This is like, this is what I've been building up to my whole life. I also did, I was there going, I could do that with him, and I could work a good match with anybody who's a lot taller than me. Because I'd be like, just stick your fucking foot out, I'll run into it.
Yeah. That's all you gotta do.
It's a simple story. You know? Indeed. But yeah, when I think back on stupid things like that, like, that was a lot of fun, but Christ, I don't know how my body held up to it. Because like, I just remember like somebody called you, be like, do you want to go fight in a tournament on Sunday in the middle of nowhere with about 20 guys? And you're like, yeah, sure, I'll go do that. And you're just like, when I think about doing it now, I'm like, going, I was like, that, I can't think of anything I'd like to do less.
Remember when you were 22 and you thought to yourself, you know, it'd be fun if I actually knew a real life fight club? And that thought actually exists for 5 years and then disappears entirely from your life. Yeah.
Well, that was kind of similar to this, where it was just like a bunch of lads are getting together in Connemara. Do you want to hop in a van and go fight them all? You'd be like, I guess so. And yeah, you go do that and you come home and you wake up the next day. You go, oh, I'm in pain. I have a black eye. What caused this? But.
Hubris, John. The answer is hubris. That is what caused this.
I will say, though, like, it's never too late to learn a fighting style, and I would totally recommend it to anybody, just because it will make you aware of your limitations on a level that you won't have had before, where you're just like, oh yeah, I can't beat people up. I'm not, like, I don't have the potential to be a badass in me. I'm just me, you know? And, but on top of that, you're afraid of less people as well. You know, where you go, ah, that guy couldn't kill me. He might beat me up, but he wouldn't be able to kill me. I've been beaten up by tougher people.
That's fair.
But unlike Matt, obviously, Matt's a fucking walking Bronson, like, you know, goes around.
I'm not, though. I can count the number of actual fights I've been in my entire life on one hand. And the problem is, none of them are recreational. Like, it was all like, oh, I guess this is happening now, sort of spur-of-the-moment bullshit. Like, that's the thing is, like, the only thing I have in my advantage is height and size, because I don't know how to fight. I've never trained to learn how to fight. I've never been in a fight where my life was, like, on the line, you know what I mean? Like, the truth of the matter is, if somebody ever wanted to just, like, walk up and whoop my ass, they probably fucking could. You know what I mean? But, yeah.
I don't know. I honestly couldn't say. I took a little karate, and I know how to throw. I think I know how to throw a punch, but like, I don't think I could be in a fight. I don't have it in me to want to hurt anybody.
And I'm obviously a woman, so I have no shot at any of this.
But I don't know, Mel. You might be all right. You might be a good. I can see you being all right at jujitsu.
You're pretty scrappy, Mel. Like, I wouldn't put you off the card immediately at all.
I wouldn't put you in a corner, Mel.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't want my back against the wall with you in front of me either. Like, that's the thing. Like.
Keith,
I don't know.
Keith, I'd actually say I think you pick boxing up pretty quickly. Just because I think you've got the frame for it. You know, yeah. I think you probably get to learn how to move on your feet pretty quickly. And, you know,
spend some time shadow boxing when I'm bored. I'll literally, like, stand around throwing punches and stuff just because I'm like, I need to get my heart racing a little bit. I'm just going to start throwing some punches.
Well,
like,
is there anything
just because.
Like, Bob has, like, a similar, like, that height thing is that people think that bigger guys aren't as fast, and then when a guy actually shows that he is a little quicker than expected, that's a huge advantage. Like, huge.
But it's like being like, tall and having longer arms. Mm-hmm. Like, you might as well learn how to use them that way.
Yeah.
That's why I was a wrestler. I was like, I ain't going to be knocking anybody out.
Right.
I have the Taz 1997 body.
Oh, I got my hands. So I still have soft hands, though. That's the thing.
You toughen them up pretty
good. And the karate just taught me how to throw a punch, like how to hold my fist properly, how to twist your fist as you throw, follow through.
Use your whole body.
Don't lock up
your arm.
Twist at the hips. It's hips and shoulders. It does like this. It's you're concentrating on turning your hips and then following through with your shoulder. Have that move up.
Fortunately, they teach you follow through in every sport. Like, I've golfed, I've soccer, tennis. Like, you have to use somewhat of the same principles when you're getting your hole.
I know no one can see this, but I love punching out my Skype cam. It makes me feel like the cover of an action film. Like,
especially with your Calvin Cubic hoodie on, which I'm also wearing mine, which is funny because you can't see
it. Take it from a very, very lazy man, Keith. You do something with your hands for 8 hours every day, 5 days a week for a month, your hands will toughen right the fuck out. Like,
for all my serving I've done, surprisingly.
Washing your hands hasn't fucked them up yet.
Yeah, like stick them in water, dude. Like, stick them in water.
Washing my hands is what fucked mine up the worst. It's just because I do it all the time. Because between working with kids and then working in the restaurant, and now, I mean, you have to do it all the time now.
I think my hands were my toughest when I was longboarding, like, a lot, like 10 years ago. I was longboarding.
You land
like,
on them all the damn time.
Like, yes, they were.
Actually, you could probably fight from what I've, like, just. If you're, like, any kind of boarding kind of makes you pretty tough to take bumps from.
I'm hard to knock over. I'll knock myself over real easy, but if someone wants to knock over,
the fact that you're willing to try it, because you have to fall down a lot to learn to board at all.
And to know how to fall.
Your body toughens up at a surprising rate, because like when I started grappling, I remember I'd come home and from doing falls, my fucking back and my arms would be purple.
Yeah.
Like, and then after like 3 or 4 weeks, I could get thrown off of a fucking, like, off the back of a truck and I'd be fine. Like, your body's just like, I'm used to impacts now, it's fine. I don't.
You're,
like, at some point, your body just goes, I don't need the bruise. It's cool. Yeah. Like, I'll be fine. And,
I can still take pretty tough shots. I mean, just from soccer. My shins and feet, I don't really, I, like, bash into things all the time. I'm like, oh, where'd that come from? I just don't notice
my
especially my shins. Are totally like from playing soccer since I was 5. They're pretty much like I could bash into things all the time, and I just don't even realize that I'm like, where's that come from?
I'm like, where did this cut come from? My hand's bleeding. That's weird. When did that happen? Shit.
That actually was me at my job almost every day. Yeah. I'd find some sort of cut, scrape, burn, or something that like you stop. Not to make it sound more than it is. But as far as hands and forearms go, you stop feeling pain at some point.
As much.
Yeah, like unless it's actually like real damage, like
dude, the pizza oven took my arms a couple times, and I've got like hash marks from 500-degree ovens. It's just
I always get I would always get worried. I would always get worried as I can't serve right now. I would always worry when I would find a cut or something and be bleeding. I'd be like, shit, was I bleeding at the table just a second ago? Did I get blood on the table? Did I get blood on somebody? Shit. Like, and then you come back with like a Band-Aid and a finger cover on, and they're like, did something happen?
You're like, yeah, like, I gave myself.
I gave you, I gave you AIDS.
That was the beauty of my profession. Are you bleeding? Yeah, don't touch any of my shit. Just keep working.
Yeah, I remember one time there was a couple of years ago. I had a friend and we used to hang out a lot together. And I remember we went to the beach one day and I jumped into the water and I climbed out and I came up across a scraggy rock and evidently I tore my fucking leg apart. And I didn't know this, sorry. And I remember I went back, and my friend at the time, she was gay, and myself and her were taking in a woman who was walking up through the beach. And I'll never forget this, because I just remember seeing her staring at her. And I was like, what's going on over here? I was like, fuck me, that is a whole-ass woman over there. You know? Like, she had it going on all over the place. And I remember we were just talking about her for about 5 minutes, and then she just looks down at my leg and goes, well, you're bleeding all over the place. Like, you know, we were both distracted by this. And I was there going, jeez, I kind of want to go up and tell her that, like, going, listen, love, you're so hot that I didn't even know that I was bleeding out here.
Did you notice this? Because I didn't. I was too busy looking at you.
Oh, God, I was bleeding all over the place.
How about them digits, baby? As you can see, I'm quite tough.
And, yeah. If you're not into me, you can give her a go. She was more than...
Well, if that's your thing, she's cool too.
I think I told you guys about her before, but I had a... She went through a rough breakup, and I took her aside, and she goes, I don't know what she wants. And I went, listen, I'm going to tell you something that nobody's ever told you before. Women are fucking nuts.
True story. Well, I could never be a lesbian. I'm serious. I couldn't handle dating women. Women are such a pain in the ass.
I said, like, that's... I said, the worst thing about it is that you're both women. Right? So you're both...
Well, that's like, I remember the time it dawned on me when one of my gay friends actually pointed out to me, was like, you know how men always want to do it? He's like, you know how men want sex all the time? Yeah, that doesn't change when you're two gay men. And I was like, oh my god, it was not, it's just not something I ever thought about before, because...
I often thought about that, where it's like, there's a lot of, like, you know, hardships that go along with being a gay man, but there's also must be nights where you're there with your boyfriend and you go... Do you want to just, like, suck each other's dick and then watch Die Hard?
Yeah, right.
You know? Like, that sounds like a good existence.
Can I put the TV on while we do it? Of course you can. Go ahead. You know?
I gotta collect some fruit in my Animal Crossing. Do you mind?
Not at all.
I'll be fine. It's all good.
Can I do that later? Sure. Okay, no problem.
Yeah, we'll switch it up.
We'll switch it up later.
We're switch hitters, both of us. We'll just switch it up.
You want to go first? Do you want me to?
It does have to be infinitely easier in many regards.
You will be, but like you're less likely to be asked how an outfit looks.
I don't know.
Depends on the community you're in. Just as someone who recently, because of his girlfriend, is seeing a lot of the queer community in Philadelphia. Dude. Oh no, their relationships are just as crazy
because it's still two people in a relationship. That's the point.
Yeah, it's not like there are gay dudes out there who are probably like two dudes like me and Matt are just like, you want to jerk each other off and watch the newest episode of My Hero?
Just the laziest of gay men. Yeah,
like they exist. But like there are other guys who are like, you didn't notice how I did my makeup tonight. Like there are those.
One of them used to be one of Bob's bosses. He was like the coolest dude ever, but he was such a, like, he used to be like way, way back, well before we knew him, he was like a go-go dancer and shit. So he
just the way you put it, Keith, I'm there going, it's not that you want to be gay, it's that you wish that you ever, like, we all kind of wish on some level that we were attracted to other straight men.
Wouldn't that be easy? It would just be easy if we could just do that.
We could have sex with each other and be okay with it.
If I could just find a millionaire that wants my body, that's all I'm asking for.
You and every other woman, Matt.
Matt is every woman.
I am. That's how the song applies.
You know, it's one of those things that used to be like, man, women always just want the guy with the money. And then you get old and you realize, I really think it's a survival tactic.
It is.
It's just a survival tactic. In our society, that's just the survival tactic. Who's got the most money? Because that's really all that matters in this crazy fucking society.
Listen there, people. If you're listening, then chances are you're a human being. And if you're a human being, here's probably the best lesson you're ever going to fucking learn. Doesn't matter how fucking serious or how much thought you put into it. You will never know what it is you fucking want. Because the minute you get what you think you want, you're going to realize you fucked up.
Sorry, Matt.
Let's hear it.
I need to go back over one of the most important parts, events of my life. I wanted to meet Okada. I wanted to hold the belt. I did both, and it was the best day ever.
Right? I think Matt means more in a moment you wanted. Yeah. It wasn't like a lifetime of wanted.
You didn't marry Okada. You just had to stand with him.
But he would have if he had a chance. Yeah,
oh, man. The ideal moment is that I'm there and I've got the belt on my shoulder and we both kneel at the same time. And we were just like, oh, yeah, of course. You know? And then he's like, do you want to move back to Japan with me? I'm like, definitely. Let's go live in your Rainmaker mansion.
He's thought it out.
Oh, yeah. He's ran this through his head.
Of course he has.
So many fucking times.
Look,
it's not as important as the Kota Ibushi proposal that he's run through his head, but it's definitely out there.
Look, number one is John's hooking up with Asuka. I'm hooking up with Kairi Sane, and we're going to hitch up with them. But if that doesn't work out, Honestly, John, the block with Okada.
John's gonna have to fight me for Asuka.
You might have to fight the entire internet right now.
Honestly, if someone said to me, all right, that if I had to give up all my worldly possessions, and then there'd be a coin flip, and if it landed on the right side, I'd get to just go out with her for like 2 weeks, all right, to see if it works, I'd take the chance. Yeah. I'm like, here, take my box copy of Zen Nihon Pro Wrest on the Super Famicom, right? Take it. I don't need it. Right?
God, what if she's actually the worst person off of the camera, though?
Okay, John. Hypothetical. If she's the worst person off camera, but here's the hypothetical. I got something better than giving everything up.
Okay.
For one date with Asuka to see if it could work, you can never listen to Rush ever again.
Ooh.
Would you do it? One date.
I think I'd roll the dice.
Yeah, but you can never listen to Rush ever again.
What do you mean? I definitely never listen to him again, or never listen to him again if it is there a wager there. Because there's like, I could find other bands to like there's,
but it's just like, that's the thing. Like, you can never listen to a song. You can't hear them. If they play, you can't even hear it. Like, if it plays, like, it's just like someone's like, oh, I love this song. And you're like, I don't hear anything.
That's out of sight, out of mind, though. You know? And I could be married to Alaska. So, God, what would I care? I mean, you're going, someone.
Monkey's Paw, the only music Asuka plays in the house is Rush.
What if?
This is getting like Twilight Zone level here now.
I'm like, what? God, yeah, hang on. Like fucking smoking hot fucking wrestle waifu.
Okay, I got one for John on this same topic here. One.
I gotta go soon, by the way, but I want to hear this. I'm gonna go after this.
One Night of Passion. Everything you want goes with Asuka. Anything you want.
That's the thing.
Goes.
I don't want to have sex with Asuka. Obviously, I want to have sex with her because she's a fucking beautiful woman.
Right.
No, I just want to, like, again, I kind of want to just help her. Like, you know, she comes in off the road, I'm like, here, let me get you some ice bags and I'll throw your gear in the wash. And, you know, when we're both, like, 70, we can go back to her town she's from in Osaka and make pots together.
I can hear the tears coming off of you, you wuss. All right, rephrase it then. 2 weeks unbridled date time with Asuka. Do whatever
Asuka's
you want
for
with
Asuka.
Yeah, like in that episode of Space Dandy where he goes to the place with the girl.
Yes.
Okay.
So that like Kirk woman planet, but just Asuka.
But afterwards, yes, afterwards, you have to spend the next 2 decades living in Dublin. Not allowed to leave.
Whew.
Ever?
2 weeks no. with Asuka for 20 years in Dublin.
Yep.
Like, ever leave Dublin?
No. It's a bum deal.
Yeah, you can't leave for 20 years. Yeah.
No, it's a bum deal, Lewis. No way. She's not that fucking good. Like, I mean, come on, man. Like, I mean, even the nice part.
He didn't say you couldn't win Asuka over in 2 weeks and bring her with you.
True.
I would not fucking force that city.
I would not put that poor woman through that. I respect Asuka too much.
Here, I love you. Welcome to the most boring city in Europe. You know?
No one can claim that John's not a feminist.
I love that you hate that city, because anytime I tell people, I'm like, yeah, I want to go to Ireland someday, my friend lives there, it's always like, oh my god, Dublin is amazing. Like, and I'm just like, in my head, I'm like, no.
No, look, the problem with Dublin is it's just this boring place. Like, yeah. Belfast and Cork and Galway are way better cities.
I didn't get into Belfast, but Cork and Galway were way better.
Yeah, like, I mean, Dublin is just where it is. Like, it's where the airport is.
Right.
That's what people stay there. So it's like, I get it. It's the capital as well, but, like, there's way more interesting places to go to. And
Trinity,
the big library, but that's literally and we went and saw the bog people at the museum. But
and I appreciate that there are things for foreigners to see there.
Right.
That's, you know, I appreciate that it's different to them. But to me, it's just like, it's just the city I have to go to wrestle matches. Like, that's, you know. Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Don't get me wrong. If you were to come and there was a show on in the National Stadium, I'd be there going, perfect. I will meet you in Dublin and we'll go to the National Stadium, the best fucking wrestling venue in Europe. And I fucking say that underlined because I've been to the other one that's supposed to be the best venue in Europe and it ain't as good. Fuck you, York Hall. All right?
I thought it was the Copper Box. It's your call.
Yeah, but that's how. That's how I feel.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. No. I'm gonna go anyway.
No, the copper box is cool, but I'm talking dedicated wrestling venue shows happen there all the time. The National Stadium is like Hurricane Hall. It's purpose built for watching things in the center of the building.
Got it.
So it's built for boxing. So like the building is built to make it easy for you to watch something happening in a ring in the middle of the room. It's perfect. And when that place is hot, like there's nowhere like it.
No, there isn't.
I'll never forget like watching Will Ospreay and Walter in there. Still the best match I've ever seen in person. And I just remember like there was cake all over my legs. There was people everywhere that I did. Like I remember jumping a lot. Like I just remember these very physical sensations from that night, and just kind of going, I'm watching the match back later going, oh, I wish I was there. And I was like, oh, I was there.
What was the best match I saw? I think for the experience, the best match I ever saw was the Colony versus Fist, Lucha de Apuestas match, masks versus hair.
When Icarus lost his Sammy Hagar do.
Yeah, when Chuck and Chucky and Icarus had to shave their heads. That match was amazing. That was so good to be there live. It was so much fun. That's one of the best I've ever seen.
The Burger King of the Ring, Bring Your Own Legos Death Match by Interspecies Wrestling. There was maybe 200 people watching in the most illegal venue I have ever fucking been to in my entire life. And just watching, what was it, Shitty and Addy Starr just murder each other I've never seen a human body bleed so much. Like right
from Lego.
No, like right in front of me. Like, yeah. You know, I've seen pictures.
But also from Lego.
Yeah, but it's also Lego. The Legos were sticking in both of them at the end of it. I was pretty sure we were all going to catch hepatitis because it was just spraying every... It was the most illegal event I've ever been to, and it was amazing.
For me, like with that match, the Ospreay-Walter match, I just remember sitting there going, these are the two best wrestlers to ever come out of Europe, and they're fucking killing each other here in front of me. And it's like... I mean, David Boy Smith and Dynamite Kid and tons of great British wrestlers and even Otto Vance and guys like that, like, were great. But, I mean, Will Ospreay is the best wrestler to ever come out of Europe, hands down.
You were talking about that coming out of Europe. I was thinking about when I went to Chikara and it was like, we got Johnny Saint here. And, like, this old guy comes out and I'm just like, oh, God, it's going to be one of these fucking God. Yeah, so glad you brought the old guy over from Great Britain. And then, like, 20 seconds into the match, it's like, I would die for that old man. He's the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Johnny Saint was...
Like, what the fuck am I watching right now? Like, holy shit. How come all the old guys over here are all drugged up and fat and can't do anything anymore?
But I'll never forget the first time I saw him on tape. I never got to see Johnny Saint wrestle live, but I remember I got because Colt Cabana told me to check out a guy called Vic Faulkner, and I got a bootleg tape of Vic Faulkner matches, and I remember one of the guys he wrestled was Johnny Saint, and I called a friend of mine up on the phone, and I was like, you have to come over now. I found the British Ricky Steamboat, and like I was like, you have to see this guy. Because he was like, and the thing is, the version of Johnny Saint that you would have saw when he was like 70, he was doing, I'd say, 90% of the stuff he was able to do in his prime. Guy was incredible, beautiful.
I watched a Johnny Saint Vic Faulkner match for our British World of Sport episode,
and like they're just beautiful, awesome. Beautiful style of wrestling.
Yeah,
like just like elegant technical style of grappling, and like just something you'll only ever see in pro wrestling, just the way those guys. Yeah. And like Johnny Saint, like WWE hired him to work in NXT UK, and I'm just like, he, whatever they're paying him, he's earned it. Like years and years ago, he earned it. So do whatever it is you need to do to justify you giving that man a check, because he's one of those guys. Like, because when Mike Quackenbush pulled him out of retirement, he was like working as a like a haulage driver, and that was like the Chikara stuff was what kind of pulled him back into wrestling and made him kind of go, oh shit, I'm special.
Yeah, he's you know? Amazing. Like, it was just like, I freaking saw Johnny Saint wrestle Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Or Bryan Danielson at that time.
But that's the thing, like,
I didn't even really know who Danielson was at that time, so it was like, holy shit, what the fuck? Like, it's looking back now, it's like, holy fuck, I saw that live. And that was like when I, like, had just somewhat recently, like, gotten into wrestling again in Chikara.
But that's Danielson, how I felt about Darby Allin and Joey Janela, having them go from, because I saw them in the, like, 18 months prior to AEW, and then randomly they were in AEW.
I'm a fan of Joey Janela's, but as I said before, my overriding memory of Joey Janela was me going, I'm not going drinking with that man.
No.
I just remember Matt Riddle going, you want to come out for beers with me and Janela? I'm like, absolutely not.
Definitely no.
What was it with something about those guys? It's got out of my head now. But like those, like the Chikara stuff, like, was very special because I remember like watching all of those matches back in the day and going, "Why these guys are all great? Like, they should all be on television. They should all be making tons of money." And eventually, they all, for the most part, got there.
Yeah, it's really incredible to think 10 years ago. All these guys I saw are now the people, you know, in 2020 who are on television. And working in the background. I still say the women's division really started getting better in WWE once Sarah Del Rey left and went to be a coach.
The funniest part of it all, though, is the fact that Eddie Kingston comes to Ireland regularly. Eddie Kingston is the nicest guy until the bell rings.
He was hanging out outside of Chikara show once, just talking with people. Like, he had just showed up, like, gotten out of, like, a car outside and showing up, like, smoking a cigarette. And some fans are like, yo, what's up, Eddie? And, like, he just starts bullshitting with them. And I'm like, are we allowed to talk to Eddie Kingston? Like, I wasn't going to say anything to him, but I was like, yeah, he's just a dude.
If anyone's just
a dude, it's Eddie Kingston. Though the times I've seen Ikaris in flip-flops and, like, gym shorts and a Chikara tee, it's just like, you're definitely just a dude. I got to run, though, guys, because I got a Pathfinder game soon, so I'm really sorry. Cut off.
No problem, man. Take care, dude.
Love you guys. Stay safe.
Ashimas.
Ashimas. Come visit me on Delco Island.
I will try. Hopefully it'll let me this time.
Then so that, gone off to fucking play fucking Soggy Biscuit with his friends.
Do you know what that is? We call it Ookie Cookie in the States, but yes, I know what that is. Mel, do you know about this skate?
Oh, man. I remember the first time someone told me.
No, I know nothing. Sorry, my thing was...
You're better off.
I probably am.
I remember the first time someone explained that to me, I was like, why would anyone agree to us?
No one's ever played it.
Like, of course they haven't. But it's just like, I was like, why would anyone agree to that?
It's just some gross idea some asshole came up with once upon a time.
I was like, why does
someone's
guy?
Tried it regardless, no matter what it is.
Somebody's tried it, but the people who have tried it enjoyed it and were not doing it for the spirit of the game, which is to be an asshole to each other.
Got it.
But, like, the idea that it was in existence for, like,
if not thousands of years.
Proud tradition.
Since cookies were invented, this game has existed.
Because I think the reason it was explained to me was a friend of mine said something. Like, I remember I had a friend over and another friend of ours wasn't going to come to hang out with us. And he goes, well, he was playing Soggy Biscuit with his brothers. I was like, slow down there. What's that? And I was like, going, the thing I'll never forget is, like, why does the last guy have to eat it? Like, surely it should be the first. Surely the one who's the most enamored with the situation should be...
Yeah, the person who's enjoying the situation should be the one who eats it.
And on top of that, like, I think there's a cop-out as well when you just go, right, well, I know the rest of you have jitted on this, but I'm just not going to. So,
I mean, if we're going to redefine the rules and make them accurate if people want to play it, John... It should go a little something like this. First person to bust has to eat it.
Uh-huh.
But if anybody is unable to bust in a certain time limit, then they have to. Now it's dangerous. You know what I mean? You don't just get the get-out-of-jail-free card by just being a placid fucking asshole the entire game.
It's just... Because as it is, as the current rule set dictates, like, you can just be there going, well, I'm just not going to get my dick out, like...
Yeah.
You know, I just won't take part. The rest of you cretins can fucking...
I mean, to be fair, that is the response you should be giving, is no way. You guys are fucking horrible. Goodbye.
Yeah.
But if one was to indulge, there needs to be more rules, because otherwise...
It's like I had a friend who wasn't homophobic, but was kind of off-put by the idea of, well, anal sex in general, like specifically anal sex between two men. And a friend of mine just went, what's your dream amount of money? And the guy was like, oh, say 10 million. And he goes, right, 10 million, you can have it tomorrow. But what you have to do first is you have to fuck a fleshlight that shoved up another man's arse. And he's like, so you're not putting your dick in his arse, but you're putting your dick in something that's in his arse. Could you do it?
10 million?
Yeah.
In a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat. Like, the funniest thing is, I remember someone said to me...
These trying times, John? Absolutely.
Someone said to me before, like, if you had a boss and he said, oh, so if you let me suck your dick, I'll give you 50 grand, would you do it? I was like going, man, if he said that, by the time he finished saying the word grand, my dick would be hard and in his mouth. I would be so enthusiastic, he wouldn't even like it at the end.
What a semi just thinking of that much money. I mean, what the fuck? Like,
right.
I mean, we've had this conversation a lot on Sidecast, and the answer is yes. I think all four of us would suck dick for $1 million.
Yeah.
And we don't care who it is.
But they say, someone says to me, like, oh, and then everybody finds out about it. And say, like, you're like, all right, that's fine. And someone goes, oh, what have you got to say for yourself? I'll be like, I guess I'm going to Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah.
You can come talk to me in my new house, asshole. That's what I'm saying. $10 billion.
Visit me on my fucking island, bitches.
Shy of murdering somebody, I don't really think there's a restriction I can think of. Like, to be completely honest. I would have cut off a limb. Like, I would have cut off an arm or a leg.
No, but I mean...
A finger, yes. 100% yes.
The idea of having someone puke on me or shit on me is abhorrent to the nth degree. However, if there was a 10 million price tag on it, they could do both.
Oh, right on my face. I would not give two fucks. As long as I could see the check being written as they were puking.
Oh, no, no. The money would have to be in escrow before, like, I'm even in the room. All right. Like,
oh, you want it laid out in cash on a fucking in a briefcase, huh? Like,
no. It has to be in escrow and, like, guaranteed by a lawyer who I trust, yeah. Who's there going, no, the money's here. I will transfer it to your account the minute.
Of course. We're going to be professionals about this, John.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I'd be like, oh, listen, man, for an extra million, I will let the person who's doing this to me hose off all the filth with piss. Like, it's...
Yeah, once you have puke and shit on you, piss don't seem that bad.
No, piss is a fucking... That's
piss ain't gonna hurt you. Piss never hurt anybody. Like,
that's coming down the... If you've had sex with anybody, you've had piss on you.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like, it's you know, it's part of the... it's one of those uncomfortable things where you're just gonna go, if you've ever gone down on anybody, you probably know what piss tastes like.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Probably. You know, come out of the same hole, so
yeah, it's like
it's pretty darn close.
No matter who you've gone down on, you've got a bit of piss flavor in your mouth.
Yeah.
I think it was the old Artie Lang fucking bit when he's talking to his dad. And he's like, "Dad, I got a girl, but she wants me to piss on her. Would you piss on a girl?" I wouldn't drink a gallon of water prepared, but you know, if the opportunity arises, yeah, why not?
Oh my god.
But if there's money involved, like...
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, well, money changes the whole thing, so...
Even, like, if someone said, like would piss if someone said, I'll pay someone to piss on you, and I'll give you 50 grand. 50 grand's enough. You know, I'd probably even do it for 10.
If so, for 500! Like, no, just to get pissed on? Pissed on. That's
don't devalue yourself.
Yeah, right.
No, I think I'm worth more. I think I'm worth more, but you know what? If someone's going to piss on me, like, literally just piss on me, I'd do it for five. Like,
wow,
would you prefer
you that? Are like would a you... whore, man.
Well, I mean, my rates are reasonable, Mel. Like, that's
would you prefer a man or a woman?
I'd prefer a woman, but, like, at the same time, it's still nasty. Like,
that's the thing. I think I'd prefer a man, because it'd be more businesslike, and there'd be nothing sexual about it for me.
See, my thought is, like, well, what if I close my eyes? Maybe I'll enjoy it. Like, you know, you never know till you tried something.
No, I'm
trying to get $5,000 out of the whole situation. Why the fuck not?
500, though. You said 500.
Did I say 500?
Yeah.
I'd probably still do it for 500, wow. But I was thinking 5,000.
Well, no, if someone offered me 50 grand...
I think you need to be better to yourself, Matt.
I think I need to get the fuck out of here and see another human being, because I think I'm going insane.
$500, oh my god!
You need $500, please. Please tip generously, Pister. I need it.
By tomorrow, Matt's like,
Give him your Venmo.
By tomorrow, Matt will be like, if someone is willing to meet me in public, stand 2 meters away from me, and piss on me from that distance, I will pay you.
Drop this episode now.
But, I don't know where I live.
No, but that's the thing. Like with I would do, again. With shit and puke, it'd have to be in the millions for me.
Yeah.
But for piss, I'd be like, 50 grand, man. I'll hold out for 50 grand. That's a life-changing amount of money.
Indeed.
You guys are prudes. That's all I'm saying.
Look, I just think it's worth that. It's not necessary.
Okay. Yeah, to be fair, Mel, you make a point. Apparently,
have the money already, so I may as well not devalue myself to that level.
Well, the thing is, like according to sources, the federal government's going to be giving us $600 a week. So if that's going to happen, I should probably charge more than what I'm just going to be getting for doing nothing. That is true. Well,
I just
and
think
the government should be giving us exponentially more than that because you know. But well, that's a whole other subject.
Yeah.
But it's
we're
a
all
case
getting
where...
pissed on, folks.
Seriously, I feel like I'm getting pissed on for free right now.
But like as the Joker said, we live in a society that doesn't respect gamers. I mean, as you said, if you're good at something, don't do it for free.
Die from this horror. In 10,000 years, when the aliens come and look at what's left of our civilization, they're gonna fucking find what's left of Twitter and just be like, my god, games journalism really just destroyed this planet. My god.
Yeah, I mean, that was what got the ball rolling. You know, that one fucking girl having sex with those game journalists. You know what I think, and this is the thing, I'm not, like, I don't mean to pass judgment on the girl's looks, alright? She's the one who supposedly had sex with all those guys. All right, but here's the thing: as they're going, look at, she's not a fucking, like, she's not Asuka, okay? She's not a top tier level. But I'm just saying, man, if she wanted to have sex with me, I'd be like, that's okay. I'll go for that.
Rule of thumb: never trust the lady with blue hair. I'm gonna tell
you.
I'm kidding, world.
Once was enough.
I will say though, like there is a thing where, like, when you meet a girl who's got like some kind of like edgy appearance, where you go, she's probably really cool or fucking insane. I don't think there's a. I think there's you either get one or the other. I don't think there's any middle ground.
I agree with that.
Well, I mean, here's the thing.
As a woman,
edge, okay, but it's going to be divided into one of two things. Is she dressing like she's from some sort of bizarre Alice in Wonderland cartoon, or does she dress like a fucking librarian but with blue hair? Because the latter is going to be a bad time if you have a penis. The end. Just saying. He already hates you. Ask the lady that tried to pick up John in My Favorite Bar.
Fuck her. Actually,
That's what she wanted, sir.
I'll never forget that. Just for
me
the moment.
Either.
But just for the moment going, I'm the one who's supposed to ruin these things. Okay? Like, what a fucking weird day.
I believe the line was, I had 2 solid hours over a 9-hour period of loving to give you, and you ruined it, sweetheart.
But I just literally, you know when you get, like images flashing through your brain, and they're really vivid? I literally just could see my fucking kidneys in Ziploc bags. Like, it was...
I've seen John do a myriad of expressions and feelings and emotions, but I've only ever seen him scared once, and it was that moment where
she freaked me the fuck out, man.
I know.
She was, because she was so fucking weird. Like, I've never met anybody like her. I bet she would be like, into all kinds of fucking weird shit anyway. Like, I'm sure if I had gone back to her place, I bet I would have woke up with a tarantula on my chest or something. Yeah. You know? Or, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. It just wouldn't have been the good time I was looking for. It would have been the good time she was looking for.
I just remember half an hour after last call, me and my buddies are waiting just to see if Johnny's going to be leaving with the lady or not. And John comes running out of that bar, slams the door behind them, looks at us and goes, "Lads, we got to go. Now. Now. Everything okay? No. Where's the truck? We need to go now." I'm like, oh, okay. So, yeah, me and my friends are laughing as John is bolting down the fucking road looking for our truck.
That was a good fucking night.
Oh, it was a great night. I'll never forget that night. It's one of the most fun nights I've had in my life. That was a good time.
The thing I'll never forget is freaking out over how dark it got. Because I think I was talking to Mike, and I was like, is it normal that it gets dark at, like, 8 o'clock here in the summer? He's like, yeah, that's normal. I was like, okay, because I thought I'd just fucking, like, travel through time or something, because, like, it only gets dark here at that time at about 11:30, 12 at night.
Wow. And, really?
Yeah and I was like, kind of
so far north, think about it.
Yeah, no, well, that's the thing, I don't think about this shit. Like, Mel, for the longest time it confused me that, like, the sun was out in the winter when we were recording where you are. And I'm like, you're a half an hour away from the time zone split. Of course it is. You don't think that, though, because you're on the same time zone as me. You know what I mean? So, right. Like, I don't think that, like, you know, because, like, on the very, very brunt end of the east coast of the U.S., the sun goes, in the winter, the sun goes down at 4:30 in the afternoon. In July, about 8:45, it's down, and then, like, in August, yeah, by 8 o'clock, it's down, like,
because here, like, I think from June to August, you're looking at it still being bright, definitely at 10:30 at night.
Okay, that would freak me the fuck out. Like,
yeah, see, like, here, it's usually 9:30, 10, but, out west, when we were in Seattle, it was closer to John's.
Yeah, because, like,
it actually surprised me when I was first out there in the summer, just because it was so much later.
And that's the thing, like, with here, like, during the height of the summer, it gets dusk at 11:30, never quite gets dark, and then at half three, 4 o'clock in the morning, sun comes up again.
Didn't realize you were that far north, honestly.
Yeah, that's, like, at the very height of the equinox, like, it's, mm-hmm. But it does do that where, because I remember being at parties when I was a teenager, and it was, like, 3 a.m, and there's just this, like, brightness on the horizon, and we were like, is that a city or something? And then the sun came up, and we were like, ah, oh, fuck.
But well, that's life. I've lived here the vast majority of my life, and, like, I never really realized, but it's like, yeah, it's dark here all the time. All the fucking, one, it's always cloudy and rainy here, you know what I mean? But two, like, it's like, yeah, I never thought about it, but compared to anywhere else in the U.S., we probably have the least amount of daylight, short of maybe Maine or New Hampshire, who's a little further north than I am.
That night, I'll never forget.
I'll tell you that much in Maine.
I believe it.
Like, I'll never forget you sitting at the desk in the tattoo shop.
Yep.
And I remember you just saying, hey, man, that's like giving out to Chinese people for going to Disneyland at Christmas. And I remember going, that's fucking funny. And then turning and putting my hand up to kind of steady myself against the wall. And yes. I remember it felt like it took about 5 minutes for my hand to reach the wall. And I went, oh, okay, that's what we're doing tonight. Like,
you know? You had just consumed one of our buddy Chris's delightful concoctions.
Well, it was. The thing is, I'd taken it, like, 2 hours before or something.
That's what it takes to kick in.
And that's the thing. I remember going, fucking, this is a load of shit. And then at that moment going, okay, here we go.
That's how they always work.
Most prone to kick in when you start talking shit about them, so.
Edibles kick in the minute you start to wonder, when the fuck is this shit gonna kick in?
Kick in,
and then
yeah.
Not 5 minutes later, you're like, oh, no. Like, it's a little strong.
A friend of mine years ago made a bunch of cookies, and he gave them to me, and I remember eating them and going, okay, I guess it'll be whenever. And I'm not kidding, 15 minutes later, I was reading the German text on the side of a bottle of orange juice, and I just burst out laughing, and I was like, okay, that was a lot quicker than I expected. Because I was just sitting there going, Jesus, this is the most, this is this, who, what idiot wrote these instructions? And then I was like, oh, it's German. And I went, oh, I'm an idiot. And then I kind of, you know, I got caught in the hamster wheel. And then I was like, oh, yeah, okay. I'm a bit fucked up right now. That was the night I remember my friend Jimmy just fucking... he slow motion fell on the ground. Like, he was sitting at this kitchen table and he just, like, slumped onto the ground. And everybody just came in and just built a bed around him and left him there. Like, they put a pillow under him and put a blanket over him and just like, he'll be fine. He'll be happier waking up in the kitchen in the morning, I suppose. You look confused, Matt. You okay?
No, I'm getting messages from like a billion people. So, you know, sorry. Just keeping an eye on all of them. Make sure my parents are safe and all that shit.
I'm sure your parents are fine.
Well, no, they were just texting me. So I was reading what the fuck it was they messaged. And it was literally my dad. Hey, you want to call tomorrow? Yes, Dad. Thanks, Pops. Thinking about you, too. But, you know, you get a message at, you know, 7:45 at night in these times. Like, I can't ignore anything anymore. You know what I mean? So it's like, all right, I guess gotta read this.
My mom calls me every day. And yep. I've been telling her every day. I'm just like, this is a lesson for you. You need more hobbies. She started playing. She's dug out, like, I had a bunch of Game Boy games in the spare room. And she's going through them now. Like, so she cute. Like, because I told her, I was like, you need to play video games or something. Mm-hmm. You know, because you need an active distraction.
Yep.
Yeah. I tried to talk my dad into buying a Switch yesterday. He wouldn't go for it.
They're overpriced right now. They're just so jacked.
Are they? Let's find out. Like, I'm curious.
It was like $300-$500 for.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then there were people that were price gouging them on purpose because of what's going on and all kinds of stuff. That's, I was like, nope, I just can't.
It's. I mean, I didn't think Switches would be sold out.
They weren't until this whole thing came out, and I'm sure that a bunch of people bought them up with the animal thing and Animal Crossing. And
Nintendo are just like fucking jackpots. They're the ones who
they're like, we need to have a pandemic more often for our shit to sell.
Well, okay. Animal Crossing was just the perfect game at the perfect time.
Yeah, right.
That's like, you know.
Holy shit. So she ain't kidding.
No, she ain't.
So, like, just like a normal Switch with blue and the red right now are going for $250 on Amazon, not Prime at all. All the Prime shit is sold out. But then the one with the black controllers are going for $439. Mm-hmm. The Lite seem to be $255.
Is this Amazon themselves?
No, this is not Amazon Prime. This is the third-party sellers because Amazon is sold out.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's assholes. It's assholes taking advantage of this shit.
Just
but,
like
everything
this is, else, yeah.
But, yeah, this is pure price gouging. Like, that's bullshit.
It is price gouging, and it's not something that's going to fall under the purview, so I'm not really... that
well, if it's like $50 more, I could understand supply and demand.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? But like,
no,
that's
this
gross.
This is not that though. This is like,
don't worry.
Usually run.
Don't worry. I'm pretty sure stores still have them. Just go to a fucking store and buy one. Like, that's just stupid. Put on the mask. It's worth it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Whenever I go out, I never, like, I don't have access to masks or anything. But everybody else seems to wear them. So I'm just there going, well, if you guys are all wearing them, I don't need it. Like, you know? You're all
coughing. The CDC is about to change their guidelines here. They were telling us not to, but also we have people, like, that need them.
It's, well, the thing is their efficacy is questionable. Like, it's not really proven whether they make much of a difference. The effectiveness of masks, and this is why they wear them in Asia, and this is why people have been wearing them because of this, is that they help to stop the spread of the thing, not to prevent you from catching it.
Yes.
Right.
If you
you're
have
only supposed
some...
to wear them if you are sick, in
you
theory.
You suspect yourself of being
or you think
exposed.
You may be sick.
Yeah. Like,
I had to have that whole explanation with my mom, because my mom is a sweetheart and means well for everything. It's not me dumping on her at all. But she was knitting masks, and I'm like, Mom, this is going to do the exact opposite of what you're thinking it's going to do. First of all, it's a microscopic organism. You are crocheting masks. There's giant holes in them. Two, it is made out of the most porous, shitty cotton you could possibly get. Like, the sewage in the air will cling to this by the end of the day, let alone any virus. And secondly, Mom, the whole idea of masks is to prevent spreading, not to prevent contracting. And the important part, the part that all the retards forget about, is when you get home, you take the mask off and throw it in the fucking garbage or in the wash immediately. You don't hold on to them.
And I've been keeping, I mean, the whole thing with, like, here in Michigan, there's shortages, so they should be going to healthcare workers, and that's it.
Yeah, I was a little pissed off that there was no sanitary wipes for carriages at the local Stop and Shop. That pissed me right the fuck off. But what are you going to do? You know, it's like, come on, guys.
It, though. I mean, no one's going to do
it. I mean, they were doing it. I think they ran out. But
what's great now here is that security guards are not allowing people to bring their families into supermarkets with them.
Oh, I fucking wish. Jesus Christ, do I wish.
They're stopping them going, no, one of you, the rest of you can fuck off.
Yep.
You know what? You know what, City of Fall River? I don't give a fuck about your fucking crotch goblin offspring. Leave them the fuck at home.
It's not necessary. The problem in this state specifically, because it's so bad right now, like, the idea is stop congregating. And the 6-foot rule is meant to be for quick trips.
These little preteen fucking shitheels are literally running around the store.
I know. It's like nothing's different. It's bad.
Yeah, children are useless on a good day. But you know what? The world hasn't had a good day in a month.
Yeah.
Get them home. Also, it was 3:00 in the fucking afternoon. Shouldn't they be doing, like, the school lesson shit stuff, too?
Either way, it's like, fucks? Like, you're supposed to do less people, and also, like, for someone like me and those kids, like, they shouldn't be being exposed either. Like, they need to stay home. Like, Bob's like, I'm still going to the store alone. You're not going with me, so.
Well, I've told my mom, because people have to eat. You know what? Mm-hmm. People need to go to the, you can only hold on this shit for so long.
Of course.
But, like, I told them, like, you don't go alone. Like, I will accompany, if your husband can't, because he's working or whatever, do not eat, like, if it's the corner store at the end of the road, whatever. Right. But if you're going into the city, call me first.
Yeah.
I don't care if I don't need anything, I'm not, like, again, I don't think anything would happen, but, like,
she's
5'2",
right.
And she's such a nice, trusting person, mm-hmm. I can see an asshole, like, I don't think hurting her, but just grabbing her shit and running.
But
you know what I mean?
Take the chances. Like,
exactly. Like, that's my point.
It's
like, you don't go anywhere.
If you're with her, I guess.
And she lives 5 minutes away. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like, it ain't like I got anything better to do. So, you know, that's been life. Anyone else want to say anything before we wrap this shit up?
I'm going to be up for another 3 hours, I'd say, because I can't get tired anymore because I'm not taxed enough.
I have been tired for 2 fucking weeks. I can't
sleep
anymore.
Again, probably,
I will never sleep again.
Honestly, I've been going to bed at 4 a.m. and waking up at 9, and my body's there going, that's all the sleep you needed, because you did nothing. And I'm not a fan of it.
Anywhere between 3 a.m. and 7 a.m., and I've been up by 10. And that's the nights I actually go down. Like, it's, some nights it's
my,
like,
my body wears out no matter what. So it's one of these things that one way or another it's going to happen, but I cannot not wake up at, like, it's like 7:00 every morning, like, always, so.
My thing is, in my head, if I hear the birds start chirping, I've already fucked up, because now my brain is angry at me for being awake, and it's like, I'm trying, asshole. I'm in the bed. What do you
want
from
me? That's the thing. Always keep a fucking blindfold or something near you, because daylight will fuck your brain up as well.
Yeah.
Like, I always keep a bandana or a bag for my headphones that's made out of, like, really good, like, dark black material.
That's a good idea.
And I just throw it over my eyes. Like, when I was staying in Kyle's place, I think Mel, you stayed there as well, where it was like, there's that, like, fold out bed in the upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in a glass room.
Yep.
And so what I did was I threw a t-shirt over my head, like, completely over my head. I remember, because I had this t-shirt over my head, and I was kind of lying, like, in a straight line. And I remember when I woke up, Kim just walked over me, she goes, you sleep like a fucking vampire. like, daylight will fuck with you. So if you can cancel that out, cancel it out.
Well, as a matter of fact, one of my old psychiatrists, he was working with the UW people at the University of Washington. They were doing all these sleep studies because we actually do fuck with our circadian rhythm, and it's, like, not natural what we do, and that's part of the reason people do struggle to sleep in our societies. What they do to get you to level off is they tell you to flip the lights on immediately when you get up. So same idea as like when I would get up at like 5 or 4:30 to go do camp and stuff. It's like the opposite. They tell you to like flip on all the lights, get as many lights as you can, because it does trick your, just like John just said, it tricks your mind. So you can do it the opposite too, where it makes you feel less tired if you're someone that struggles during the day by flooding yourself early on when it's still dark. It keeps you from, like, if you have, like, seasonal affective disorder during the winter months and stuff.
Ironically, when it's, like, mid-afternoon, it's sunny, but not directly up in the sky sunny, and it's quiet.
So you're
find
like a real animal, you just nap.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like
after lunch, mid-afternoon, take a sleep in the savannah kind of deal.
If this wasn't a crisis, my history of when I don't have to be anywhere or do anything for a long period of time is fall asleep around 3:34 in the morning, get up at 11 a.m. That would be my normal sleep cycle. Permanently second shift sleep cycle. That's how my brain operates. When in crisis mode and you can't fucking sleep because you are fucking panicking about how you're going to pay for rent and life and all that other shit, is just no sleep until you get so fucking exhausted you start to feel sick, and then your body says, okay, I'll cooperate now. But then you're only down for 2 to 3 hours, and then when you wake up, it feels like you slept a day, and it's like, shit. But, yeah. And the bitch of it is, at some point, I hope, when this is, you know, coming to, when societal life resembles something of a structure again, I know I will be so infinitely fucked and hurting because of this. That's
the
bitch.
Get on a new time schedule.
Yeah. I'm secretly hoping my work just opens up a second shift and I don't have to change anything.
That'd be great.
That'd be awesome, because then I get like $2 more an hour. That'd be beautiful.
Well, and you would actually have, you'd be working when it worked for you, and you'd maybe get sleep.
Yeah, like even like on the best of days, the hours I have most people would kill for, I hate them. Like, I fucking hate
it. They don't work for you, so.
Yeah, well, because it requires me to be in bed by 11, which is something I can't do even on the best of days. Yeah. Like, I can't do it. Like, you know, I understand why everybody older than me loves it, especially when they have fucking 4 to 5 kids. It's like, yeah, you know, if I had to fucking constantly be doing shit out of work too, I'd probably pass out at 7 p.m. as well.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, I couldn't have work be the highlight of my day. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like,
work is a funny old one. Well, it's funny was today I did that little poster for the for my all my wrestling matches I'm gonna watch, and my mom called me up and she goes, "That was really good. Why don't you do that for a living anymore?" And I was there going, well, fucking, you know, they're going, you think I wanted to do my shit fucking job for the last 2 years? Oh, God.
It'll
work out. It'll be fine. Something will come out of this. That's good.
I don't know, that's what I'm going back to. I realize now my priorities are I don't really, because before when I took the job I had, it was a case where I was like, I just want money and security. I know I'm just there going, you know what, money and security are one thing, but I think I just need to be mentally happy all the time, you know, as much as possible. So
get back there and you'll get settled in finally, and you'll actually have a chance to deflate, and you'll find the thing.
Oh, look,
and it's great. I mean, this is great practice for you. You're like honing up all on your skills in case you do get that next thing that you want to do.
Oh yeah, look, I'm looking forward to whatever it is the next thing I get to do is, like, you know. But it's in a weird way, like,
is it the longest to get there? It's like when you take a trip to somewhere that you've never been to before. It always takes a really long time to get there.
The thing for me is, like, I was like, I realized that, and maybe someone else might get some value out of being told this, but, like, for me, I realized that I was playing into an idea of what I was supposed to be doing to be not successful, but to be doing well as an adult. And then I realized at a certain point, I was like, this is just making me miserable. Like, and I was like, going, do I have a way out of this? So then I decided, I was like, fuck, I'm going to try the way out. If I continue on the way I'm on, I'm just like, by the time I'm 60, I'll, you know, just be sad and have paid rent for 25 fucking years. Right. So I was like, I'm out. I'm done. I'm not playing this bullshit fucking game anymore. I think it takes being at a certain age to realize that you're allowed to do that, because when you're younger, you have people browbeating you so often about being lazy and not doing the right thing or blah blah blah. Whereas now I'm just like, I'm a fucking grown ass adult. I don't have to. I realize now that I am like that. The people who try to put you into those boxes and force you into those like simple positions in life are fucking dumb, and you don't have to listen to them.
Well, so, they're in those boxes themselves, and they're miserable pricks a lot of the time, so don't listen to them.
They wouldn't
Plus,
even
get it. Plus, you had the wherewithal. A lot of people don't figure out what you're figuring out, so.
Yeah, like, and these are the type of people who wouldn't even let someone piss on them for $100,000.
I know, right? Seriously. I'm
fucking
prudes. Prudes.
Yeah, prudes. Real prudes,
Absolute
man. Not
prude.
Like a...
I'm not saying... like, $50,000 on the body. Maybe $150,000, I might... let it get in my mouth a bit.
Bless you, John.
Well, I think we've ran out of steam.
Good.
How long is the piss going to last, realistically? Like,
depends
what, a minute?
Depends on how unhealthy the pisser is, to
ew,
be honest
ew,
with you.
Ew.
Yeah, like...
But what if they go, this person here is a pro. They're in piss porn all the time, so...
You're this mad, man... This man has drank nothing but lemonade for the past 30 days.
You're going to get 45 seconds in and out.
Good lord. That's a lot of citric acid.
All right. I think we've ran out of steam for the week, guys. however, listener, if anyone out there is interested, 50,000.
Matt's your guy.
Oh, I think me and John both established where you're
guy. Top two right there.
Well,
I guess
you,
you guys, you have your pick, apparently.
50,000 lower body. All right?
Nice.
70, not even chest, not even below the
75,000 upper body. All right?
Nice.
100,000, you can get it on my neck or at the back of my head.
What John is saying is he's negotiable.
150,000, you can get it in the mouth.
Damn.
So there you go.
I'm going to have the platinum package. I'm gonna undercut him drastically. Anywhere you want on the body, 50,000. All right, that's
you guys
it.
Should start like a punch card club or something for this shit.
Half an hour ago, you were willing to do it for a hot dog and a handshake, all right?
Yeah, you
it's true, but then you guys talked to me about the value of this fucking thing. So I mean, what am I stupid?
I love the
he helped Matt like, learn his value of himself.
Yeah, apparently I'm worth 50,000 to piss on. Look, people have been pissing on me my whole life.
Though.
And never paying me a penny for it, all right, dude? I'm ready to cash in.
It's like that thing. I never understood that, you know, like the thing where it's like, oh, this guy offered me a load of money to let me suck his, or to let him suck my dick. That's the weirdest one. We're like, going, listen, man, you don't even have to get hard. Like, if he's sucking your dick, you just gotta sit there and let him do it for a few minutes.
But those guys are always the guys that, like, they come up with that shit because they're nervous, they're insecure about their own sexuality, so they think up the simplest thing in the world. It's in my experience, it's always some guy that either has, like, serious homophobia because he's seriously homophobic, or has a closet gayness side and is therefore, you know, the homophobic gay guy that can't stand how gay they are. It's like those preachers that, like, will go into great detail as to what will happen if you legalize homosexuality.
Like
wow, you've thought about this a lot, dude.
Ted Haggard, who was, like, you know, proselytizing about the evils of homosexuality, was caught by the police doing crack with a gay prostitute in
that's
a motel
what I'm
room.
See, this is what I'm saying. It's that's exactly.
For the Lord.
Point proven.
I mean,
here's the thing. Here's the thing. If he'd have been doing crack with a gay prostitute on his own time without making a big fuss about it, nobody would have batted an eyelid.
Did he, if he just turned around to that prostitute and went, salt! Everything would have been fine.
Well done, Matt.
Thank you. Bye, everybody. We'll see you next week if the planet's still here. I guess I don't.
It's not the planet that'll be gone. It's us.
It's us. Earth isn't going. In the immortal words of the great George Carlin, Earth isn't going anywhere. We are.
The sentiment still stands.
Good night, bitches.
Bye.